Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock! Listen, listen! This is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen!
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
That's Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Boom. All you had to do was listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, you homie. Fuck that. Black G, out.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
And you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole. Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
J-Cat and fucking Eric Lawrence cannot fucking keep this from the public, that they are fucking dyed-in-the-wool, true blue fucking members of fucking Cult Fiction, and motherfuckers need to keep that shit in fucking mind.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah, Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it. Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, you homie. Fuck that. Black D. Out.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker. Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yes, welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. It is Thursday, May 31st. 2012, and of course the combination of myself and Blog Talk Radio, I fucked the intro up, and
I don't know, man. I said it for the new intro last week. I thought I said it on every single end of this blog talk site, for Christ's sakes. Everything short of deleting the old intro, which I'll be doing after the show. Hey, I really thought I did, but it's crazy. So I messed that up, had to play 1.5 intros tonight. But either way, you got it, and welcome to the show. In about 10 minutes, we will be getting our guest, the... Oh, man, what do you say about Teddy Hart that hasn't been said already? He's loved by many. He's hated by many. He's been through many different controversial situations. Either way you look at it, the guy could not be more of an exciting performer. I don't think anyone's going to doubt that. I don't think there's much more that Teddy could be doing out there to excite the fans, whether it be through ravaged hatred or, you know, near riot conditions, or for the fans jumping out of their seats for, I mean, this is a guy who has probably the best moonsault in the business. And, you know, the arc on the thing he does, he puts out there, is ridiculous. And, you know, the innovation and, you know, the team of him and Jack Evans and Petey and, you know, Harry and all those guys that came over here, you know, years back, they did a lot of things that really, really sparked up the Northeast scene quite a bit. I mean, I would say. And, of course, you know, the haters will say what they're going to say. And, I mean, we'll address all the various controversies and all of that stuff and let Teddy address all of these different things in his own way without having the, you know, the negativity attached to it. And, you know, we'll go through that. A lot of different crazy things have happened this week. I will be attending the, PWS shows this weekend. Also, my heater now up 2-0. And although, you know, a lot of people, speaking of haters, a lot of people like to just hate on LeBron James to no end because, well, he's the MVP and, none of the players on their teams are able to be MVP, but of course, something draws the hatred out of these people in order to say that LeBron is this and LeBron is this and LeBron is this. And then, you know, all the Michael Jordan pictures come out as soon as LeBron wins games. And all the, oh boy, well, our team's out of the playoffs, but I can't wait for the West to beat you guys. Well, you know, I guess we'll see when that happens. Everybody's got their chips on San Antonio or Oklahoma. And, I mean, we'll just really have to see because, you know, we're doing our thing out there. Remind us our one big man in Chris Bosh. And, you know, we're getting it done against the Celtics right now. You know, we were down 15 points last night, came back, won the game, overtime. And, man, well, what a game. Incredible game. Got to give it up to all those guys. Rondo was a beast out there. You know, we overcame all of that. So, you know, hate how you want to, but it's going to be what it's going to be. And a lot of the people that are hating, their teams aren't in it anymore. So it's real easy to judge. So that's that. I touch on some of this crazy, crazy stuff that's going on in the news later on after I talk to Teddy. And just a lot of crazy things, man. And, man, I really don't even know where to go first on that part, so I'm going to wait for later. Another thing, next week we will be having back on Nick Burke. And for those who did not hear the first Nick Burke interview, you really got to go and check that out. I've never done an interview to the length of that. I can't even believe that I have more time to talk to this guy. I mean, I've done 2.5-hour interviews with guys that I'm like, well, I mean, if I come up with some more stuff in the future, I'll hit you back up. Thanks for the interview, all of that stuff. And, I mean, that's the norm. And 2.5, that's a long interview as well. So, I mean, generally, guys, you know, I'll do an hour interview. I'll throw out there everything I got and you know, wish them the best and everything's like that. But, man, to get that much time out of a guy, 4 hours, and I still have probably a couple hours to talk to Nick Burke on. This guy is a talker. He has tremendous amount of stories. I am all about hearing them. I know a lot of other people listened to it and liked it. You know, I got comments from random people, you know, wrestlers, non-wrestlers, those type of things, that really enjoyed the show, and it's a must listen. Everybody's got to go listen to that. You know, he told a lot of great Trent stories. He told stories about his involvement in, Ring of Honor getting started. You know, not that he'd launched Ring of Honor, but in a roundabout way, some things happened that he had parts in, he had a hand in, and that helped push Rob Feinstein into creating the company that is now Ring of Honor. So, I mean, a lot of really, really interesting things, different stuff you've never heard before, I never heard before at least, and definitely, definitely worth a listen. So check that out and check it out next week. We will have him back on. Very, very interesting. Again, if anyone's interested in the shirts, hit me up. I know Eric's been ravenous. I got to send out Eric's shirts. Will do so. Other than that, you know, anybody else who wants them, like I said, in country, throw me $10. That'll cover like my shipping and maybe a tiny bit of the cost. And, you know, white or black size, whatever the case is, because generally I just have the large and extra large. And then, you know, out of the country, $15, little more to cross the pond on the shipping side of things. So, you know, other than that, yeah, hit me up. No big deal. I like the shirts. I'm going to go to the shows over the weekend. Well, the show over the weekend. I could only make tomorrow night's show. And I'll be representing out there, seeing the great Muda and everything else. And I'm looking forward to it. I got quite a lineup there. Let me see, actually. I'll take a look at their lineup real quick. Well, the main event, they got the great Muda and Kai versus Sami Callihan and Tony Nese. And, I mean, that's to see Sami Callihan in the ring not one-on-one, but in the ring standing across from the great Muda. Man, I don't even know what to say about that. That's a pretty tremendous thing. It's something I never thought I would ever see. Just one of those things. And trying to see a night, too, if they got a... No, they don't have Muda lined up against anybody on night two, so I guess we'll see what goes on there. That's the main event, that alone. Neil Mascaris just went into the WWE Hall of Fame, and he'll be taking on Samurai Del Sol, such an upcoming, fast-moving lucha. This guy's got to be seen to be believed because he's got tremendous talent. And, you know, to go in there against a legend like Neil Mascaris, that's something to be seen. Big Van Vader taking on Too Cold Scorpio. I mean, a lot of these things are just, I would have never expected to see these things on paper. PWS is good for a lot of those matchups that you just really wouldn't expect to see. A lot of other things. They're having a tag team attraction pay-per-view dark match, and that's Davey Richards and Adam Cole versus the Briscoes. And if you want to watch it on pay-per-view, it's www.prowrestlingsyndicatelive.com. So check it out on there. I think it's $9 or something like that. I think they might have a package deal for the 2 days, but you got to check it out over there. It sucks that, you know, companies got to do this, and by companies, I mean Ring of Honor for the most part. And it's honestly stemmed around, you know, Gabe's ego and, you know, the other guys who he used to work with and all of that stuff, because these guys that are locked under exclusive contracts, when it comes down to the WWE, the contracts mean nothing. They'll get bought out of that contract faster than they signed it. And, you know, it just becomes null and void really, really fast. So it's not really a thing like that. It's to play politic games on the indies. So this guy, you could work wherever you want. Yeah, but you can't be part of their pay-per-view because they're on our pay-per-view, and our pay-per-view needs to be a draw because of that guy and not that guy. And it's a little much. I think it holds companies back, and I guess that's the point, is to help boost these other companies by using talent exclusively for their pay-per-views. But I mean, I'd like to get back to the days where every company just goes out there, tries to put on a unique show, a unique brand, regardless of the talent possibly being a lot of the same guys, you know, due to territory and, you know, who you can book in that area. And just putting on a better show. and a different brand, a different quality of thing that's going to draw wrestling fans in. Put it at a reasonable price. You're all doing our pay-per-views, you know, that type of thing. I like to see companies have to put out the better product, not necessarily just say, this is the only place you'll see this guy. Like, you know, it's obviously reminiscent of the WWE that locks their talent down, but let's be honest. None of us indie companies over there, you know, none of us are the WWE. You're not looking at Vince McMahon money. There's no reason to be locking guys up and hurting other companies just for the sake of trying to make yourself exclusive, because it's ridiculous. It's all really stupid politics shit, and I just like to see great wrestling. You know, so if everybody could put it out there and you can get Adam Cole and Davey Richards versus the Briscoes on pay-per-view, oh, show it to us any way you can. You know, and then the other company could put something else on that's more interesting. But they'd rather take the creativity out of things and then just make things exclusive. So you could do it all you want, but I'll be the only one to put it on TV. It's just, it's childish, honestly. I know it comes down to money, but like I said, you go out there and you put on a unique product, and that's, you know, that's how you win your money. That's how you earn your money. It's how wrestling had been for years and years and years, and then it just became more and more politics. And you see it everywhere you go in wrestling. Everywhere you try to support, you'll see something that's holding them back. That's another company trying to pull a power move, and it's all ridiculous. But a lot of innovation out there to be had, a lot of different things to be done different than they were done before, which is, you know, speaking of innovation, that's why I would definitely like to talk to Teddy Hart tonight, talk about a lot of different things that have been gone on in the past, and different innovative things that he's created and innovative things he's looking forward to the future with. And you want to talk about some ideas that haven't been thought of before, you're definitely going to hear them out of Teddy Hart, if you haven't already, because, you know, Teddy's done a couple of interviews and all that. You know, I'm hoping that I'm able to reach, you know, another audience with the interview, and that way, you know, people who haven't heard his views on things and haven't heard, you know, his side of a lot of stories that people have already heard. You know, things that have happened, things that have been done, places he's been, those type of things. So shortly we will have Teddy Hart on, and we will get into a lot of these different things, and it should be a great time. So, I got a little bit of Raw to go over. I'm probably going to wait on that till later on. I just preface it with saying the Big Show does not need to be the top heel in the company. And I think that's a big mistake for them doing that. And I just can't imagine how far that can go. How long can they draw that out as the guy that people are scared of after he spent 15 minutes crying on TV? Just legitimately bawling, like, oh my God, it's really hard to come back from. And it's absurd that they would actually put him in a crusher role, you know, with, like I said, on the little mini-sode I did last week. They have like three or four people in just squash mode, you know, Ryback and Antonio Cesaro and Tensei they had in squash mode. But apparently, from what I've heard, the management is not so happy with the way his thing's going, which I wonder why, because, I mean, again, you have all these other guys running squashes. Someone's going to pick their favorite or who they consider dominant, and then the other guys are just going to fall by the wayside, whether it be, you know, Tensei, which kind of had a bad start out to go with, because, you know, he's clearly Albert, A-Train, Giant Bernard, whatever else you want to call him, but it's kind of hard for him to get his own thing over when other people are trying to call him out on being another guy, which, I mean, come on, let's just get over and see where this new angle is going to go. I mean, guys have gone away for, you know, a month, 2 months off TV, come back with a new angle, and people got over it. For some reason, these guys are really, really locked in on not letting this go. And that's kind of his deal, and he was gone for years, so I think it's kind of unfair for people to just harp on that same thing over and over and over forever and ever. So I guess we'll see what happens with him. They're going to repackage or figure something out. They went to, from Lord Tensei to just Tensei. They took his robe off. Then they had him attacking his manager a little bit. Like, ah, it just, to, you know, there's too many crushers there. There's too many people that won't get over the Albert Tensei thing. They definitely need to cut a good promo just addressing the whole Albert thing, that he went through a metamorphosis in Japan and he used to be Albert, and that's behind him. He killed him in Japan and left him for dead, or, you know, something like that. And just make something out of it, because it really doesn't make a lot of sense to just allow this to die in the water if, you know, they had some kind of good future plan for the guy. And, you know, he's had quite a run in Japan. There's really no reason for him to just be treated like, you're not working out. Like, no, I'm pretty sure it'll work out. Just got to find his niche, and not everybody could be a crusher at the same time. I think pretty much anybody could be a crusher, but not all at the same time. That just doesn't work. So, but that's just my opinion on the situation. Who knows? I am just one viewer. So, just waiting on Teddy. Should be here any minute. It's at around 9:15. We're working on 9:20, 9:21. So, you know, we'll see. We got a minute. So, what else can I get into? Let me see. Like I said, one thing I wanted to get into that I don't really understand is they're doing the every time I try to think of something, I feel like I might go long on it, and then I want to get cut off. My guest calls in. Well, screw it. I'll just go into the Raw thing for now, and then I'll stop and come back to it. Pretty much started out with Big Show throwing A-Rai into the wall, squashing him, you know, that whole thing in the back. And then they, more or less, you know, went off of that. And then they did the, CM Punk versus, John Laurinaitis video game promo, where they're both saying how they have the cover and they're both on the cover and everybody's worried about the cover of the video game, you know. That's kind of corny. I mean, the little bit of funny part to that is, you know, CM Punk calling Otunga the Carlton. That was kind of funny, him calling that. But, you know, nothing that hasn't been said before. Going off of that, they did the whole D-Bry versus CM Punk thing. And, you know, AJ's out there. Now she's with Punk, wearing a Punk shirt. She's trying to follow him around, do the, you know, stalker thing with him. And, you know, I guess that's a way to take that angle where, you know, now she's going to follow him around and those two are going to continue to feud. So, I mean, they put on great matches. I can't, you know, take anything away from that. Hopefully they can keep it alive. And, I guess we'll have to see. Randy Orton, happened to be suspended. The wellness policy, apparently, from what I hear, the wellness policy for 60 days. And, I don't know what to think about that. It's funny because they had him run out there and just squash. Who did he squash? The Miz. They just ran out there, RKO'd the Miz and, you know, posed to his music and left. So, and that's pretty much what happened there. And then it's funny because, you know, you leave that completely out there, Miz looks like garbage next week, and Randy Orton's off TV for 2 months. So it's some of these decisions with these squashes need to be thought out a little bit better, I would think, you know. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the WWE does or what their line of thinking is. Well, Daniel Bryan won the non-title match with you know, exposed turnbuckle type bump type thing. You know, he gets hit up in the turnbuckle exposed. He gets the pin, and Kane attacks Daniel Bryan start to go after Punk. Punk gets in there. From what I've heard, it's going to be like a three-way to pay-per-view. So, yeah, that's what they're doing there. Let me see something real quick. No such luck. All right. Yeah, so then Christian beats The Miz. I don't really think many people care. That the whole thing's kind of flat right now. They're not doing much with it. They, you know, had Christian as a heel just a minute ago, and now he's face, and no one's really reacting to it. He beats The Miz, and then The Miz gets squashed by Randy Orton, as I just said, and, you know, they move on from that. Dolph is actually in the back cutting a promo, pleading for a singles run with Vicky to get him out of the tag team and everything like that. So that's hopefully promising, and hopefully they will get Dolph into a singles picture. And that's something I've been looking for a minute. He definitely needs to be pushed. He's tremendously talented. Then you got Sheamus squashing Otunga. You know. Well, like in a big show main event. Which I don't think I need to say anything more than that. Because who wants to see Big Show in the main event? So you got Big Show out there. He squashes Otis. In the midst of that, Kofi and R-Truth come out, and they get squashed too and thrown around, and everybody's getting just thrown around and jobbed out. And, you know, the Big Show is supposed to be the big monster, big dominant monster for whatever random reason. And then, yeah, they're going to have Cena versus Big Show in the cage at the next pay-per-view, which everybody should be so tremendously excited for. So, yeah. So I think I'm going to take a break right now. Hopefully, my guest will call in shortly and play a song. And then, you know, if he calls in during the song, I'll just cut the song off. If not, I'll let it play out. Hopefully, he'll be back shortly after that. Check it out.
Hood's on the right. Wow for the night. Wow for the night. Wow for the
champion hoods that I rock. New nights out the box. Will attract your little chick, then lock it down. All the demigods just sound hardcore. Reloading my 44 like click. Box cutter slice and open your six pack. Demigod attack. Motherfuckers better start falling back, aight? Cause I'm the king of night flights. I got more boxes stacked in a warehouse. Two pairs, one on ice. I won't even wear out. Your head talk crazy and you find yourself aired out. I box with a force that can knock grizzly bears out. Prepare for warfare. Fuck fight a fair one. Feels like I shot you in the face with a flare gun. The heat when I speak and the temperature of my tongue will make you swear to God I'm the emperor of the sun. A next level hustler that shouldn't be slept upon. Fuck crack, I sell energon to Mysticons. Prompt 8 to have Megatron on Methadone. Apathy's a god on the rap upper echelon. Assassination theme music raps to die so. Cock back and blast for our path to fire.
I'll be that insane cracker from the DGZs. I need liquor, two packs of GPCs. Now that's sicker. Rest if you don't like it then fuck you. My clan deep stepping out the Jeep in my truck shoes.
BB.
The killing is a part of my job. And yo, RZA, look it on that 16 guard. You gotta figure I'm the cream of the crop, the demon in Pac. I leave a butt nigga, make him eat the beam in the clock. You wanna see the MP pop? Give me a reason. Guaranteed after beefing with me, they turn vegan. The fuck you wanna do? Come and see Ryu. I'm like a sniper, sitting on.
Alright, I gotta get the track off because I have on the line the one and only Teddy Hart. Oh, and he just dropped off just as I cut. Well, you're listening, Teddy. Call right back in. I was just picking the call up, so let me see what I could do. I may be able to just call him right back. I'm really not sure what happened there. Let me see. That was not cool. Huh.
we go.
Hello?
Teddy, you there?
Yeah, it's Ted. I'm so sorry, guys.
Not a problem, man. As long as we got you, cool.
I'm ready to go.
All right, man. Teddy, how you been?
Doing excellent. How are you guys?
Doing all right, man. Well, I've been hoping to have you on the show for a while. You're one of those, you know, very talked about, sometimes controversial, but definitely highly talented guys that definitely love to hear from. So for those who don't know who Teddy is and how Teddy came up, can you give us all a little rundown on that?
You want me to?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's like McDonald's talking about its Big Mac, but I will talk about it. You're supposed to talk about me, man. I'm just kidding.
Well,
I'm just fucking with you, dude. I'll make it easier for you, because who knows what's true and what's not out there. So you hear so many things about Teddy Hart. So I'm Stu Hart's oldest grandson, and I guess I got lucky when the WWE bestowed me with a contract at 17 and 18 years old, because the contract took about 4 months to get finished. I was 17 and then 18 when I finished it, so which made me the youngest guy in the history of the WWE to ever get a contract with them. And that sort of gave me, a lot of money at a young age to do some really good things with, and that my dad was always very, very aware of how many wrestlers pissed away their money and ended up drug-addled fuck-ups in the future, and he didn't want me to even be a wrestler, let alone a drug-addled fuck-up. And I am a drug addict, but I smoke marijuana. That's my drug of choice, like I said. Never done another drug in my life. Proud to say that, just so you know where Teddy Hart kind of sits.
Right. What was it like growing up, you know, within the Hart family?
A lot of pressure. You really have to love the wrestling business, because if you didn't love the wrestling business, technically speaking, the wrestling business sometimes costs you more pain than pleasure, so to speak. Growing up in the dungeon is pretty cool. Getting to see all the guys. I wasn't there for like the really, really the prime time, but I was there for some of Stampede Wrestling and the kind of the collapse of Stampede Wrestling and the collapse of the Hart House and the dungeon and all that stuff. I was there for all that stuff to kind of, when it was there doing well, I caught the tail end of it, and then it basically all disappeared after that, which is kind of sad, but that's the reality of the Hart family not handling their legacy and their name properly. And people like Brett, I hate to say it, and I love Brett, but reality is that Brett's been milking the concussion for way too long and hasn't done enough for Alberta Wrestling at all. So Alberta Wrestling's basically dead. And it takes someone like Brett, a legend with a lot of credibility, to do something for Alberta Wrestling here. Like I say, the province I live in is, you know, they love the Hart family, and they're always looking for the Hart family to come up with something new and entertaining. But right now we're at a lull. And hopefully, like I say, I'm not really trying to disrespect Brett. It's just that Brett's got a lot of power, and Benoit's not around anymore, obviously. God bless his soul, and Owen's gone. So is Davey
right.
Boy. So is my grandfather. So it sort of leaves me the last one carrying on the Hart name, wearing the pink and black. And I got a good set of legs on me and a pretty thick skull. So I don't think I'm going to be having any concussion problems. I hope to, you know, pray to God that I don't, and I'll be able to carry on what Brett, again, sort of left behind and is afraid to pass on to anyone else, which is disappointing again. But that's the same thing with his two kids. I hope to God that Dallas is out there and he maybe hears this. There's still a chance that Bret Hart's kids may get into wrestling. And if they do, they're both good-looking kids, very hard workers, and maybe that'll be something that can bring the Hart name back to a level in Canada that's taken quite seriously again. And again, I didn't mean to get off subject with you, but you asked about growing up in the Hart family. I grew up in Brett's shadow, and I'm sick and tired of it, but at the same time, Brett made me infamous and famous because he was known as one of the greatest, and I agree, greatest wrestlers and storytellers to ever bestow the world with his ability in a ring. But again, apart from that, there's a lot of the left after Brett's been injured and the Hart family's been destroyed that, you know what, the only thing I know of about coming back is never quitting. So my shout out to anyone out there with the Hart family is that if you believe in us, hope to God Brett will stand behind the Hart family and the name and Alberta Wrestling, and Stampede Wrestling will grow again. And then you can talk to me in a year from now about how Alberta's opened up basically a new promotion, a hybrid promotion combined with Ring of Honor and Dragon's Gate and Dragon Gate USA and Evolved and guys like Gabe Sapolsky and Conan.
Okay, okay.
And hopefully Kevin Kleinrock, these guys, I'll be able to put my show back on.
Awesome. I want to go back a little bit. You know, going through your first run in the WWE, how did that whole experience go? I know you were young and everything like that. Obviously, like you said, the youngest. And, you know, what did that whole experience go down like for you?
Basically, there was a dojo. Dory Funk ran it. And there was a lot of talented guys that came through the dojo. I happened to be one of the guys that was selected first. But I didn't really have any idea what the schedule was. And I wanted to smoke pot and hang out with girls and kind of enjoy the youth that I thought I was going to. I always thought wrestling, I didn't realize how much time it took, even though I was in a wrestling family. I guess I was sort of blind to the fact that they never got to see their families much. I wasn't prepared for the commitment. And they gave me a lot of money, like I say, at a young age. And I basically pissed away my opportunity there. I didn't completely kill myself, though, which is what I think maybe they gave me the money to do at the same time. Is either you can take your money and be smart with it. You may not keep your job, but you can still take the money and do something with it later. So Teddy Hart's still salvageable 10 years down the road because I never got into stupid shit and I saved my money. But apart from that, like I say, that kind of set me up for a comeback, you know, a burning desire in my heart and soul to get back on the WWE or to get on a level or get on TV and show the guys that kind of thought maybe I didn't have what it took or was too immature that obviously maybe they were right about an 18-year-old kid, but I didn't have any family up there protecting me or watching me. So I didn't think I really think Teddy Hart would have survived and he would have made it, but I think that I'll have a bigger impact on wrestling in the future if I can turn around my career, which is what I'm working on right now in Mexico. And again, getting back, if I can't get to the WWE, at least I'll be on a TV show that can compete with the WWE, and I can shout out to guys like CM Punk and American Dragon congrats on how good they're doing, or call other guys out and say, you know what, I think you guys, speaking of the, and everyone thinks I'm maybe biting off way more than I could chew, but you watch the tapes. Me and Jack Evans, I believe, have risked our lives more than any other wrestler on earth and hit moves that no one else has ever hit and invented shit no one's ever even dreamed of doing. And we're the innovators of it, but we never got our chance to wrestle Shawn Michaels and Triple H, which are basically like the top guys in wrestling, in the history of wrestling. I think they control it. So my little my little shout out to anyone out there is I'd like Triple H and Shawn Michaels to someday, if they have it in their tanks left, to even give a shit about a guy like me. Maybe the fans will think I'm, you know, important enough in the future after I back up what I'm saying now in Mexico that they'll get in the ring one time with Jack Evans and I and put on a show that the whole world's been waiting to watch because Brett and Owen and Benoit and a bunch of the guys in the Hart Foundation didn't get to finish that battle properly. It's an unfinished, I think it's unfinished business. Hopefully the world still cares about that rivalry. To me, those are my favorite guys in the world to watch.
Right.
They took over a company of a billion-dollar, you know, basically a billion-dollar company and have run that company pretty good. I just want the opportunity. And again, I know I'm off subject a teeny bit for you, but you're asking about the WWE and, you know, what happened to me. And basically it pissed me off and created a fucking animal inside me where I went out and did 20-foot moonsaults and as many moves as I possibly could on the independent circuit, risking my life and the ability to ever touch the pedals of my expensive car in the future. Shit that I had because I'm born into a wealthy family, not because of the Hart family, because of my dad. Was always a very smart guy, saved everything he had, was a well-educated man, and set me up for an easy life. But being a pussy and not climbing to the top ropes, or being one of those guys that uses their brother's name or their dad's name and never really does shit, but copies everyone else. And I've seen the same headlock and suplex and arm drag 10,000 fucking times. It's monotonous. You call yourself a third-generation wrestler or a second-generation wrestler, watch some gymnastics, watch some synchronized swimming, watch some freestyle walking, for fuck's sakes. You'll talk about dancing. You want to watch Dancing with the Stars. Those guys have better moves than most of the wrestlers ever dreamed of, and these guys are professional wrestlers. These dancers are just one guys that step off the street from the NFL or from basketball or from something else that happen to pick up, you know, choreographing a couple moves synchronized to music. All of a sudden, these guys look like they're fucking ballroom dancers. To me, that's something wrestling's never really been able to capture, because most of the guys are now, either the back in the day, they're too fucked up on drugs because there was no piss test, or the schedules are so crazy that no one had time to go back to the drawing board and relearn wrestling, you know? So it's like, again, trying to cover what I'm saying, I'm talking about probably five different things: the state of the business, the guys that control the business, which would be Triple H and Shawn Michaels and Undertaker, Bret, because he was in with that clique. Those are the guys, basically, if you look at the match, which is Shawn Michaels as the referee, Triple H, and Undertaker in the Hell in a Cell, the match, I think, would have been a lot better if Bret hadn't had his problems, and it was Bret, Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, and Triple H in a four-way. That would have been the match to me, and I think that would have been the evolution of what had happened, again, because Bret got hurt or didn't play ball or there was the scandal and all that shit. It's been basically costing our family a lot of time and energy and money and opportunity. So it's like now, 12 years later, I'm still not on major TV, even though I've done every move in the fucking world, and you say it's an attitude problem. And I say, well, attitude's like the weather. Randy Orton supposedly has an attitude problem. If you protect me, which they never did because Bret punched a billionaire in the face like an asshole, no matter what the circumstances were, and then a bunch of weird shit happened to everyone else that was surrounding the Hart family or was trained by the Harts or was friends of Bret's, mysteriously all died. So it's like, I'd like to fucking kind of point out that a bunch of guys use the Hart name and would like to get an opportunity to wrestle, including Tyson Kidd and D.H. Smith. But the second Bret somehow went back into wrestling, those guys were on top doing really well. Bret went back into wrestling, those guys fucking lost their belts. TJ became basically an NXT guy, and Harry got released. Thank God they didn't squash him any more than they squashed him by having him job to guys like JBL back in the day.
Right.
And that to me is kind of fucked up that Harry, even though I think on paper would look like the same blueprint as Randy Orton or Cody Rhodes or Ted DiBiase Jr., and probably a better worker and a tougher guy and probably less of a headache in the locker room, but never got a push because his dad's dead due to drugs. Bret badmouthed the shit out of his dad in the book, and there's no camaraderie in the Hart family. Somehow, again, I don't want to blame everything on Bret because I'm not, but a lot of shit's kind of like point out the obvious. If guys aren't getting a push in a business that's got all sorts of variables, not just talent, not how good you are, how good you cut a promo, or how good you go to the gym, or how lack of a headache you are in the back, there's all these other secret variables and like kind of weird shit. And that's where I'm at right now with wrestling, is that I'm trying to figure out the puzzle of why you have to go to TNA, but you have to go through certain guys. And if you don't, then you never get a push. Or if you're in the WWE, you can't do a shooting star press or a 450. You know, it's like, well, why are these rules in place like that? Why are the matches getting shittier and shittier? Why is there better guys in all these other promotions that never seem to get a look until they're 35 and they're beaten to shit, and then all of a sudden they get a small chance? It's like, these are things in the business that I'm complaining about or trying to point out, and Bret was supposed to be the guy that protected this. If you go back in time and ask what the hell the whole fight was over, D-Generation X was pushing a product which was supposed to be sort of sexually orientated, 18 and above, and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, now WWE is everything Bret Hart complained about it not being, which is basically a show orientated for kids, which it is now.
Yeah.
It's a PG-13 show. And all the guys are supposed to be training from Ricky Steamboat, Dean Malenko, Fit Finley. All these guys in the back are quite well-educated guys on wrestling psychology, what works, what didn't, and they were all innovators. Yet they don't let any of the guys go in the ring and do shit because, again, I think due to the fact Benoit's not there, Guerrero's not there, Bret Hart's not there, Shawn Michaels isn't working directly with making talent better, he's still going out there and showing the guys up. Technically, I haven't seen a guy that the WWE's produced even close, except for maybe Paul London as an athlete that could go in the ring and touch Shawn Michaels. And I bet when Shawn Michaels is 50 years old, he's still better than all the guys on the fucking roster. And that's, again, to me, I don't know if they're protecting the business or if it's just the way it is because guys can't keep up with the guys in the past. But I'm one of the few guys that could lace his boots up and hang out with the best of the best from any generation and has been overlooked, again, not bitching or complaining, but pointing out the fact that if I can't get my chance, then I'm going to make my complaint, see if people agree with it or if they notice it, and then go to AAA and tear up the fucking wrestling world with hard work, determination, integrity, and basically go into a country where a drug war is happening and people could get killed anytime, any place, anywhere, but no one points out that. But everyone points out, like I say, some bullshit in wrestling, how another guy OD'd or the ECW show had a bunch of guys fucked up. And it's like, well, again, right. My rant, millions of different subjects, but there's a lot of hardworking guys out there that are sober, very, very good-looking young guys that are risk-taking guys that need a chance to get on TV, and they're not going to get on TV until Conan or WWE changes the style. And we're about at that point now where I think light heavyweight wrestling is taken quite seriously, as it's a lot more entertaining than watching 200-300-fucking-pound guys fuck around. God bless Mark Henry and Big Show, but I can't watch those guys or Albert as Tenzan go in there and do the same old shit to me. It's getting pretty monotonous, and you're talking about one of the most dedicated wrestling fans in the world. So I'm so sorry, bro. You got, like, the craziest rant of, like, 10 subjects.
I agree with you, Teddy, and we're going to come back to WWE. Just breathe for a minute, man. Let me ask you a few questions. But, you know, before I get, because I do want to talk about, you know, the different stuff on the indies and the first time I got a chance to see you and all of that stuff. But you, I mean, you just mentioned Bret, and you mentioned Shawn Michaels a lot about being the best ever. Now, I mean, it's a question that every wrestling fan has been asked at one point or another. I mean, and you're in the family, but you're also putting Shawn Michaels over pretty heavily. Who is the better wrestler of all time, Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart? Your opinion.
This is probably what's got me a little bit of heat secretively. I have to say Shawn Michaels overall was a better athlete and a better wrestler. He made guys look a little better than Bret did, including he made Bret look that good himself, that I think if Bret didn't have that match with Shawn Michaels, that people would have really never seen how good Bret Hart was. It would have been like Ric Flair to me, another one of those guys that Bret and Ric Flair, even though they don't like each other, are very similar. They always did the same fucking stuff, basically the same routine. Bret mixed it up a bit more and had more of a, I think, a wrestling background, so to speak. So, but not even close with taking a risk. Shawn Michaels always, you never knew what he was going to do next. At the same time, I think he was a little better looking and more appealing to guys and girls, because in this day and age, there's a lot of gay guys out there, and I respect anyone that's got enough balls to say they are what they are and back it up by being cool, not being a snake. I don't care if you're gay or not. If you're a good person and you like animals and you try not to be a prick, that to me makes you a good person. I ain't going to judge what you do. That's your own business. So Shawn Michaels, as a marketing piece, Vince McMahon was way smarter putting his time on Shawn, because Shawn's still wrestling and Bret tapped out how long ago?
Well, I mean, I respect your opinion, man. That does take a lot of balls, you know, come out there, family or not, and, you know, an honest opinion on the work of the both guys. I respect that very much.
It's just Shawn Michaels is still going, and Shawn Michaels is still able to have a match with me, technically speaking, and it might be the best match ever in wrestling history, but nobody wants to put me over. I never got to have the match with Samoa Joe in Ring of Honor, or the match with American Dragon in Ring of Honor. I never got to have those 60-minute matches where they catered to that one guy, like CM Punk got to have, you know, Kenta. All these different guys were brought in, of course, due to my controversy, which was one fucking match where I got knocked out and I did some moves which never, ever hurt anybody.
Now, not to cut you off, but just a segue so I could ask you the same question I was going to ask you, is the first time I did get a chance to see you was Elizabeth, New Jersey, was Scramble Cage, and that was the first controversy that, you know, Teddy Hart, I mean, when it comes right down to it, there's been a lot of controversy that surrounded you, but when it came right down to it, for a good amount of time, you came and you set the whole Northeast scene on fire, and it began with that. So take us through your story on that match.
Imagine being a guy using the Hart name, having to fill the boots of Dynamite, fucking Davey Boy, Owen, Brett, Shawn Michaels, all those guys, because they're synonymous with the Harts in the dungeon. And going into a company like Ring of Honor or CZW or Jersey All Pro, where I'm asking them to book me a $1,000 airplane ticket and pay for my fucking match, which is usually $500, where they have 20 guys in the area that work for fucking next to nothing, if not free, sell tickets to all their friends, and don't have to get an airplane ticket paid for, and five guys ride in their fucking car to drive a half an hour. It's like, so on top of all that, I have to be good enough to get booked, be player, or I don't even know what the word would be, I guess, play the game with all these guys. I don't know. I never trained with you. I don't know your dad's this guy. I don't know your brother's this guy. I don't know anybody. I show up in a fucking building in some stupid outfit that I designed myself with some sparkles in my hair, trying to look different.
Right.
and basically hoping I can do some moves with guys that I have to have their cooperation on most shit, except for my high spots. Basically, stand there and catch me. Shut your eyes if you have to. Most of the time, you guys don't even catch me anyway. I land on the cement, and some fucking handicapped guy in the audience who's an angel, no one realizes, keeps me safe, because he would not want Teddy Hart in a wheelchair. No other guy in a wheelchair would ever wish that upon another fucking person. So I'm in a very kind of odd situation where I have a lot of pressure on me to be as good as AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, American Dragon, Paul London, Spanky, all these guys that are trained from or already had these matches or are getting these really solid reviews from all these Mark Sheets and Bob Ryder and Bill Barons and Burt Ennis and all these other kind of weirdos in the business that are out there that are considered wrestling fucking gurus that never laced up their boots in the first place. But those are the guys that write the PWI Insider and critique wrestling like they know so much. Even though they couldn't call a fucking match or a move most of the time, they don't even know what an arm drag to a headlock is, but they act like they know the business. Point again, not trying to get off subject, because I got a lot of pressure to step in these matches where I don't know the guy. I got to show up off an airplane, and hopefully the guy will give me a good match, and the promoter controlling the pencil, which is basically God, will give me a good finish. So first match in Ring of Honor, Gabe Sabolski tells me he wants me not to do anything big with TJ Wilson, Tyson Kidd, in my match, but he wants me to hit a big fucking dive at the end of the show, which no one ever sees that dive on the video because it doesn't say it's on there. It's a run-in. So no one sees that dive. Very rarely Ring of Honor lets me put anything on YouTube without them taking it down. So I hit a dive that night. Because Gabe Sabolski knew the fans and he knew the building, and I guess he knew kind of the guys in the back, their mentality, that if I went out there in the match and stole the show and then went out after and did another dive, it might cause him a headache looking like he's giving Teddy Hart too much favoritism. So he said, listen, he's like, you're already getting over. Everyone's talking back here. You seem like a nice guy. I guess I didn't shake CM Punk's hand. Was out of all the shit that I was busy trying to do on top of selling my clothing line and making sure everyone said, you know, you should have to shake every single guy's hand in that locker room. I tried to. And still smoke a joint with a couple guys, get to know some people. I guess I didn't shake his hand, so it pissed him off, which caused a little bit of controversy there. Never knew. But I ended up hitting the big dive. They caught me. It was phenomenal. I guess a guy named Ultimo Dragon said it was the best dive he'd seen in wrestling so far. Gabe was responsible for that dive. He says, that was awesome. I told you, play it my way. You know, you don't know these people out here. I know the audience. I'm going to take care of you, kid. Trust me. I said, fuck, this guy's super cool, man. He gave me a really good push, gave me a nice little angle, a nice run-in. Next show comes in. Feinstein says, man, the CZW shit's going crazy. You're Mr. Controversial. Let's play this angle that you're controversial. I said, okay, well, what do you want me to do? He goes, let's do a shoot interview. I said, okay, well, we'll do a shoot interview. He goes, well, let's do it after the Scramble Cage match. I said, okay, whatever you want. We want you to do the Scrabble Cage match. We're going to build these platforms on top of a cage. We want you to do all this crazy shit you're doing in the Mat Rat show. Because I showed Feinstein a pilot of the Mat Rat show, which was me, TJ, Harry, a bunch of guys, Jack Evans, doing all this crazy shit in a ring we designed with platforms. So Feinstein designed a ring with platforms so I could do all this crazy shit, which again, later, for all the guys bitching, it's like, why the fuck do you think he designed the platforms for one moonsault to be done or one shooting star press? Technically, again, speaking, watch the match, only two moves were done off the cage. So I don't think they spent all that time and money to only have two moves built or two moves done off the cage. It's just the guys started bitching when we were going through the match. We were going to do this, 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 and this. So originally my programming was that we were going to do all this stuff. Halfway through the match, I got knocked out. I don't care if anyone believes it. And they also cut the fucking tape, which was kind of funny, because no one wanted, Gabe or whoever was trying to protect, or Feinstein or whatever the company was trying to protect this excuse that Teddy Hart had gone into business for himself. This fucking wild man, piece of shit, animal, asshole, just decided to go puke in the ring and do all these extra moves trying to hurt all this poor young talent that was just laying there, you know? That's the way they tried to spin it. But anyone in the building that saw it, I remember those fans screaming, Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor. And
I was there live, Teddy. I was there live.
You were there live, and you were happy as a pig in shit. I don't give a fuck if American Dragon, and God bless your soul, you can blackball me for saying it if you even have the time or energy to listen to this podcast or any one of the guys in the back that all bitch. The reason you bitched, and be honest with yourselves, and you look in the mirror, is not because I did anything breaking kayfabe. You guys break kayfabe all the time. It's what happened. It was the fans were cheering, and you guys never in your lives are going to duplicate those moves again, and you've never heard a building pop like that due to high spots, not holding a fucking headlock, calling it strong style. I'm sorry, but gravity doesn't fucking lie. Jack Evans hit the first ever double moonsault in wrestling history because he believed that much in the hearts and souls of the people sitting in the audience that spent $10, $20, $30, $50 and drove 2, 4, and 6 hours to the fucking show that you're worth it. That's why I did it, and that's why I think you asked me later, which is today, to get on your show and explain. I was trying to make people happy. I'm trying to keep my name alive. I'm trying to make Owen Hart, who's sitting in heaven with a bunch of other guys watching my fucking channel, go, look at that Teddy Hart. Even though everyone's dying around, the guy's still got enough balls to say what he does or do what he says and back it up with his fucking body. Like Eminem and 50 Cent and all those guys, the reason you take those guys seriously is because they might just do it in the street, what they say with their words on the mic. I actually do what I say. I take my body, risk my life, risk my inheritance, an easy fucking living where I never have to work a goddamn day job in my fucking wildest dreams, but decide because you had to and you drove 4 hours and you spent $20, I'm going to risk my life. Not holding a headlock Steve Carino styles or doing some move that you stole from another guy and then never giving him credit. I'm talking about innovating, do some shit where you go, at the end of the day, that Teddy Hart, I guess he did break a lot of rules in a sport with no rules, and he did a bunch of shit that I guess was really crazy, but at the end of the day, he wasn't lazy, and he did it for us, the fans, because all I did was get in a huge amount of shit from the boys, get blackballed, and I always hope the fucking fans that watch that show remember in their heart of hearts that they didn't see anyone else, not Kurt Angle, no one else in the history of wrestling, Shawn Michaels, Mankind, do what I did and get up with a fucking smile and not a scratch on me, because God protects those with no fear that have good hearts and that believe in the people, because the people are what makes this fucking planet go around. The little guy, the underdog, the hardworking 9-to-5 guy, that's the guy, the fabric of our fucking society that people forget about. But I didn't forget about that guy. My dad's that guy. Stu Hart was that guy. I believe Vince McMahon tries to get that guy out of his wrestlers. A guy that truly believes in wrestling that much that he takes everything he has and puts it in one thing and says, you know what, here you go. And that's why you guys were standing at the end of that night. And I apologize for puking in the ring, and a couple of the extra backflips weren't needed. But what happened. I believed I did because God put me on autopilot. And that was the day my grandfather had died. I think it was like the next day or something like that. It was someone, I forget the exact date, but it was someone's birthday or anniversary. I remember giving a cross to a kid in the audience saying, when I finish the match, give it back to me. And he kept tapping me on the shoulder, the kid. He said, he looked in my eyes and he said, there was no fucking one there. He said, Ted, Ted, Ted. He kept screaming my name. He says, absolutely saw your face. I waited for you after the show. He goes, and I looked in your eyes before. I looked in your eyes during, and I looked in your eyes after. And during the show, there was nobody there. He goes, I've never seen you like that. I've known the guy for 10 years. He still has the same story, you know? So it's like, yeah. I really do apologize to Gabe Cebulski, because he, after that, I was so fucking mad how the wrestling world spun that shit, and I really thought the fans never truly got to voice their opinion that there was a lot of people happy in that building, and they never released the tape for like 6 months to a year, but by that time I was blackballed, and most of the wrestling fans are just not that smart. They don't have the time to actually sit and watch. What they do is they just take an opinion, which is basically a general consensus of what the wrestling world thinks, which is a bunch of fucking sneaky fuckers that have nothing to do all day but sit on the internet and swerve shit. I don't have the time, energy to do that. All I can do is voice my opinion later. There still seems to be some reason people ask this question. It's like, why did one of the best guys in wrestling history, and I'm not saying I am, but I believe the moves I do and the guys I have around me definitely were, some of the best guys in wrestling history completely eclipsed. And 10 years of my career, basically, because Brett, again, couldn't lace my fucking boots up and didn't want to put me in the ring in case they asked the question of, where are your kids, Brett? If you're such a good father, Brett, Hulk Hogan and you were bitching about the same thing. Both of you guys left your kids out because you were too busy chasing the dream and probably cheating on your wives and doing a bunch of stupid shit. Otherwise, karma wouldn't come back and bite you in the ass like it did. But it did. And there's no better judge of what you are or what you did when no one's watching than karma. And if a concussion and a stroke tells you anything, then fuck you. I'm sorry it happened to you, but you shouldn't have fucking set up half the business for a big bloodbath, which is what the wrestling business is basically trying to fix itself from right now, which is Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels having a huge fight and wrestling now kind of being stuck in neutral because the guys that really should have made all this cool shit happen ended up passing away in all sorts of fucking freak accidents. Now you got Teddy Hart left standing all by himself in Ring of Honor, not a friend in the world, no uncles to protect me. I don't know anyone on the internet. I don't know anybody in New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia to help swerve you or tell you my story. And all I can do is hope to God you watch the tape in the future and say, that motherfucker would have been really cool in HD on WWE pay-per-view versus Batista, all juiced up like all the other motherfuckers got to do. Same food, same diet, same car. Let me run that race and see how good I would have done. Curiosity, I think we would have did pretty good on the same diet as all those guys. But again, because I started wrestling at 15, I've had a 15-year career. I'm 30 years old now, and I still have more in my tank and better knees than most of the guys I'm watching that call themselves wrestlers, and more money in the bank, which is another fucking kind of funny thing for a guy that hasn't had to work too much. Thank God for Vince McMahon and his lucky investment that he, you know, and that's my last bit of the rant. The WWE was nice enough to give me enough money to either kill myself or come back as someone that can help them out in the future or create controversy. And controversy sells tickets. And anytime you hear the Hart name, you hear Bret Hart, Owen Hart, you hear WWE. And WWE is in Mexico because Jack Evans and I are in Mexico ripping it up down there. And anyone that really watches wrestling can go on YouTube and watch AAA. And I think bullshit speaks for itself. And usually after you smell a bit of bullshit and see a bit of bullshit, you shut the fucking channel off. My guys are still doing pretty good. And those are guys like Pac, Ricochet, I would say Young Bucks. They're fucking phenomenal. There's guys ripping shit up, dude. There's guys, Samurai Del Sol, AR Fox. These guys are fucking badass. Yep. There's a guy named Phoenix. These guys can go Ultimate Dragon, Extreme Tiger. There's another guy called Dragon, I think, in AAA. There's a lot of these new guys out there. These are guys that are phenomenal. Please watch them on YouTube. All your fans out there.
We'll get to them, man. Let me, you talked about dangerous and risk-taking and everything like that. Now, you stepped into another company that you briefly, you know, name-dropped before, but definitely have to ask you about your time in CZW. You went in there, you, Jack, Petey, tore it the fuck up in a three-way, did some of the most innovative things in the ring that CZW has seen to this day. I enjoyed the shit out of it. The whole crowd was behind every bit that you guys did in that ring. What stemmed off of that, obviously, came the whole Zandig thing, and, you know, I know Zandig's not in the business anymore and everything like that, and you guys definitely had a falling out. You got left, you know, with a not so great outcome and all of that thing. You know, give me your whole side of, you know, CZW and what you took out of that. And also I'll mention, because I know you're going to rant and just come up, I'm across this anyway. You had an also phenomenal, phenomenal street fight match with the late Trent Acid, who this show is named in tribute of. And, just take me from beginning to through the CZW run.
John Zandig said his company wasn't making a lot of money. If I could do a couple shows for him for a discounted price. Ted Hart's never been about the money, always been about the people. But talk is cheap, so whatever. I thought I'd back it up and give John Zandig an opportunity to see if he was a fucking smart guy or a moron. Turned out the guy had a lot of balls for doing cool shit. But as a businessman and as a man, personally with me, he was a moron, which is disappointing because I would have given him my body because I watched him give his body because he practiced what he preached. I was willing to do the same thing. I'm not a hardcore wrestler, but I'm hardcore because I'm willing to climb up 20 feet, risk my fucking life with a twisting backflip that takes some time at a gymnastics center or a diving fucking board to do and then do properly.
Absolutely.
And you can see in CZW, it was a combination of moves, Petey, doing some cool shit, stealing that pile driver from Quiet Storm, which never gets any credit for inventing that move, but Quiet Storm, thanks for the pile driver. And Petey, thanks for, keeping it alive, because that move was fucking awesome. And Jack Evans.
So, the Canadian Destroyer he got from Quiet Storm?
Yeah, Quiet Storm invented that move. Like I say, I invented a lot of moves, and so did Ruckus. Ruckus invented a lot of moves. There's a lot of guys, like real innovators, we'll get to that later, of guys that I would love to say, you know, that guy actually, I'm pretty sure, was the first guy to ever hit that move at that time, if I remember fucking wrestling correctly, and my memory's pretty sharp.
I didn't know that, so that's great.
J. just so you know on that one. Yeah, but that match was phenomenal because it was neat how I went in as a coach, kind of, and then I was coaching my two students, and then every once in a while I'd come in and I'd hit a move that no one had ever seen before, and the CZW fans have seen fucking everything. So to get those fuckers to pop, you know, pulling out a barbed wire fucking or a razor blade and slitting your own throat, basically, I mean, and I thought I was getting the same pops as some of these guys were getting for doing deathmatch shit, personally, to me, unless my... Unless my ears are off again and I can't judge ambient sound or whatever, but I'm pretty sure I knew what I was listening to and I was hearing
you're
people screaming,
right.
chanting CZW and Teddy Hart and all sorts of cool shit. So, again, that match was phenomenal. Trent Acid, what a guy. Gave me his life. Almost made it to Canada. Got stuck up in customs here. Got basically a 24-hour pass to enjoy Canada. Got to see the dungeon. And after that, again, shit happens. Poor Trent, I know he's watching us in heaven now, basically gave me a real opportunity to kind of go out and create something that fans had never seen Teddy Hart do, which was basically paint a picture in a hardcore environment, and without trying to destroy my body so later I could be an asset to Vince or Dorian or Triple A or Conan, you know what I mean? But at the same time, give you something that you could say, fuck, that guy really made me appreciate spending $20 on him, kind of the combination of Teddy Hart was smart.
Now, the street fight you guys have had actually built off of that, and the, you know, after that match and everything else, and you did the car spot, and you did the what you later called a car bomb, which I laughed my ass off, and you used that in the future saying, you know, she's just scared of the car bomb, and I laughed my ass. That was funny stuff. Obviously there was terrible things going on overseas, and you pulled the car bomb thing out of nowhere because you power bombed them on the car, and you know, give us some story about the match overall.
Just basically, we were putting together in the back. We didn't know what we were going to do. I knew I was going to do a fish hook with them. We were going to try to sell the fish hook as being something that was a serious move, kind of like a shoot. And Trent was just so easy to work with. And the reason, another thing was, I really wanted to work Trent. Was Bret Hart loved Trent. He really thought Trent Acid was like a very close version of what Bret was. Similar look and really nice guy. And again, I love Bret. And Bret's a fucking fantastic person for most things. I don't need to get on him. But he was one of the guys that Bret really liked, was Trent Acid and Ruckus. So I really wanted to have a good match because this is when Bret and I were a lot closer before. So I really wanted to kind of follow in Bret's footsteps along the lines of guys he thought that I should wrestle or really like to get a good match with him and get that video back in Bret's hands and try to motivate Bret to get in and be my manager or something along the lines, or maybe wrestle again because no one knew his state even to this day. You never know what he could do, you know. So that's kind of where... The match with Trent had kind of a cool background to me because Trent was one of the guys that I think was could have been in CM Punk's shoes or could have been where American Dragon was or could have went to Japan and possibly been where Prince David was or maybe where Kenny Omega is. He had a lot of talent, Trent, and a great look and the potential because you got to see the kind of matches he could do and the kind of toughness he had, and he was not trying to be a homo here, but a sexy motherfucker. The girls loved him. He had a great gimmick. And anytime you can get girls with no money to shove dollar bills down your pants is fucking pretty cool as a gimmick, you know what I mean? And use that money to buy the boys an eighth of pot after the show. Trent was the fucking man for that kind of stuff. But again, that match was just one of those things. It was one of the few opportunities I got to sort of go freestyle. And a match I always loved and remember to the day that I pass away, if that ever happens. I hope not, but again... and then after that, John Zandig came out and he fucking did a move to me and cut my head open and never called it. And I didn't care that it happened. I thought it was kind of cool that I was cut and it didn't hurt that bad and it wasn't like the end of my fucking life. But I was hoping he would say how tough I was, that I never complained, that I got stitched up with crazy glue. And instead of saying any of that shit, he just said I was a piece of shit and a moron and that he didn't need me on the shows anymore because I was asking for too much money. And then told Feinstein, someone else, I think this is before Feinstein got the bad luck of whatever, that people coming to his house and saying that stuff about the kids. You know what it was.
That was in his house.
I was trying to basically get a certain price out of all the promoters in New Jersey, New York, Philadelphia, so I could make a living and travel and not have to fucking risk my life selling pot back in Calgary or running my wrestling school or something crazy like that, you know what I mean? I thought it'd be a better idea and easier for anyone that was watching Teddy Hart as a potential investor or so, saying this guy's hungry, he's on a plane every week to New York, wrestling in CZW, Jersey All-Pro, Ring of Honor, fucking anywhere that's got wrestling there, you know. But again, with all the weird shit, Zandig never said anything good about me, told a bunch of promoters that I was working for cheap, and then called my dad on the phone and lied to my dad. And my dad was kind of offended that John was thinking we're both marks and lying to him. And we're the kind of guys that'll show up at your fucking house and knock your teeth out before you can step in your fucking car if you want to be a tough guy. I'm not a tough guy, but I'm definitely smart enough to map quest where John Zandig lives based on three or four guys going to his house. And I'm not that much of a retard that I can't follow left and right, you know what I mean? And then show up and actually sit at your, because I don't need the money again. So if I don't mind taking my frequent flyer miles from all the vacations I have, showing my cats off to the world, and show up at John Zandig's house and ask him fucking face to face, why would you take a good young kid, hurt him for nothing, and then talk shit about him when the guy was willing to risk his life and play ball and make money and do good business? You're a fucking idiot. If the guy still wants to fight after that, then step outside, motherfucker. But I wanted to say something like a man, civil. And I'd rather say it face-to-face instead of over the phone. And if after that you can't follow a fucking bit of simple advice, which is basically a man trying to shake your hand after you dropped him on his head and work for free, and you still want to be a dickhead, then fuck you. That's why I say to John Zandig, love the fact you made wrestling hardcore, and you know, you paid a lot of guys whatever you could pay them to keep them wrestling, and you tried to be a good promoter as far as I'm concerned, but you didn't have integrity on certain things, and that personally cost you at least a good, you know, I'm not going to give the guy, I'm not giving the guy any compliments, let's just say that, you know what I mean, where he could have had me speaking highly on his behalf. Not
I hear
you know, but again, just, he could have been pretty cool, me and John Zandig in a death match or something like that if the guy wanted to play ball, but I think he was jealous, honestly, that high spots to me, good wrestling will always prevail.
Oh, all right, man. Now, I'm not completely chronologically, you know, correct, but I wanted to get to that first because I know the other one can go a little long, too. You had went into TNA, and somewhere, you know, within the, I think, early goings of you getting into TNA, the altercation with CM Punk, which obviously now is top of the world, but back then, you know, he was another indie guy, and he was in the in TNA, and there was some kind of altercation, I think, stemming from your previously mentioned not shaking his hand or whatever the case was. What exactly happened there?
Sorry, basically, a lot of guys were talking shit that someone is going to kick my ass. So all I could really do at this stage with all the internet guys and some guys using fake names, and I just said if anyone really wants to kick my ass that bad, I'm an easy guy to find. I got sparkles in my hair. I got a big cross around my neck. And
pretty shiny gear.
ask me to step outside, and we'll have a chat first. And if I can't convince you to smoke a joint with me, shake my hand, have a beer, have a coffee, find the highway of doing things, or the right way of doing things, which is not violence, then I guess I'm going to have to fucking see you outside. And CM Punk, out of all the guys talking shit, was the only guy with the balls to step outside with me. So CM Punk did what he said he was going to do, probably why he's got a world title now. Teddy Hart's got a lot of power in the wrestling world, even though I don't show it. And I think CM Punk's one of the guys that really did what he said he was going to do, and I wish that guy nothing but good luck. And I bless that guy, and I pray for that guy daily, because he fucking had the balls to step into the world with one of the craziest motherfuckers on the planet. And he survived, because Sabu was, I think, smart enough to jump in and causing basically a draw to happen, because CM Punk, I don't think, ever got to really show his stuff. And I took a slap from him and something else, and kind of it was schmoz. And I don't need to get into really anything more than the guy's a world champion now. He's probably pretty busy and pretty rich and probably fucking a lot of hot girls and driving a lot of nice cars and living the life. So to me,
I'm sure,
you know, if that guy was nice enough to wear one of my track suits in the future, which he did, and he let me in a show in Mexico City where I was standing outside like a piece of shit, because basically Teddy Hart in the wrestling world's just a piece of shit. Not trying to, you know, that's the reality of it, especially if I don't get someone like CM Punk to say, hey, let that guy in the back. Imagine how much of a headache it would be for poor TJ, Tyson Kidd, to try to bring me in the back if CM Punk, the world champion, didn't want me there. So imagine, man.
Right.
CM Punk could say, get that guy out of here. He's a fucking piece of shit. I don't want him in the back. And that's it. Who the fuck am I, dude? I'm nothing. I'm not going to be arguing with CM Punk or a security guard. They're going to grab me, smile at me, and throw me out of the fucking building or the hotel. And both things happened to me. I should have been thrown out of the building and the hotel because I was there and I wasn't contracted to WWE. And somehow CM Punk saw me, and fuck, he let me in the back. And he let me, twice he did it for me. And he saw me at the airport one time carrying the money in the bank he was, and he talked to me on the airplane, too. He didn't have to say shit, because actually I was talking mad shit about the guy, and way overboard. It was done and over with, but I didn't really have anything else to talk about, because I wasn't doing much, and he was doing a lot. So I was kind of sounding up. Which after a while sounds like fucking Bret Hart bitching about something that happened 10 years ago. So get over it and get on with it and make something cool happen so you remember some for some good news instead of some bullshit incident that happened at a fucking diner 8 years ago. CM Punk's not talking about that. He's talking about his belt and his last match in front of millions of people. I'm talking about some shit. So I got to get my stuff, you know, going, moving forward. And then I can talk about some other stuff, how Teddy Hart and CM Punk, maybe he'll get in the ring one day and make some magic happen. Until then, that guy's the fucking man. I'm a fan watching him, paying $39.99 to, you know, a month to watch him and American Dragon rip it up on the Monday Night Raw or on the pay-per-view. Pardon me, I've repeated myself, obviously, on the pay-per-view
okay.
where I'm paying the money. But, you know, I'm a big fan. Nothing bad to say except for congratulations on taking the opportunity God gave you and running with it. And I hope I get some... I hope I get some opportunities coming my way like you did. I hope I can do the same thing you did, is hit a home fucking run with it.
Awesome. And I hope to see that as well. Coming off of that, it turned into all of a sudden the Jersey All-Pro booking, where it seemed like you were kind of baited into a match because, you know, none of the fans knew anything was amidst. Nobody ever, you know, knew anything had gone on. I don't think really a lot of fans even knew about that altercation at all until the match with Homicide. And the match immediately got seemingly very personal and very stiff. I mean, still one of the more, you know, I mean, it was a work shoot match, and you guys got into an immediate brawl where people talk to about that match till this day. And, you know, what happened there? And, you know, after the match, you said, you know, that was for my boy CM Punk, and he made the, you know, the X and all that stuff. And it turned into a huge feud that, again, lit the East Coast on fire. You know, how did that whole thing start out and go down for you, Teddy?
I would just say that Homicide, I grew to respect him and like him a bit. But the guy is a fucking cocksucker. He took a lot of liberties with me. He's a great wrestler, but he wasn't wrestling that good that night. He was trying to hurt me. Not hurt me too bad, because like I said, he could have hurt me on some really good shit. Like, he piledrove me on the fucking, pardon me for swearing so much, too. But
no, it's fine. This show is ridiculous.
he piledrove me on the bleachers. He took care of me. Then he tried to give me a T-bone suplex on the guardrail, and he tried to drop me on my head. Then he took a crutch and shoot smashed it over my leg. Luckily, it broke. Otherwise, it probably would have broken my leg. It would, so I don't know, like, certain things
right.
were there. Then he was supposed to be a shoot. It was supposed to be a finish where if I could find something to cut myself with in the match, because nobody had a razor blade in the back, then I could get some blood and try to keep the same finish as Stone Cold and Bret did in that one match where Bret never tapped, or Stone Cold never tapped.
Right.
But he just basically submitted. But instead, Homicide throws a fucking high clothesline and almost breaks my jaw, and then I just said, you know what, I just laid there and let him pin me. I'm not going to get up after. It was like the 7th or 8th time where it was like stiff, 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 and I was just like, you know what, this
right,
is
right.
the ultimate fighting. There's nothing I can do to the guy who's going to call two of his guys after the show and get me shot or something or stab me or whatever, and the guy's a fucking,
right.
he's not a guy you joke around with. He's legit. He knows a lot of people. He's a tough
Absolutely.
Guy, and he deserves it, but I mean, he kind of had a little bit more respect for me. It was weird, and I was like, you know what, I want to get in the ring with
the
guy again. So I had balls again. And I mean, it's not fun to have to keep getting called in to wrestle Homicide.
Right.
If you think about his
now,
name, there's a reason.
Before you get into the next match or any, you know, next altercations, now I just want to clear some the air on something, because I never believed this, but I couldn't believe that it continued to come up through time where you took the every bit of brutality that Homicide gave to you. You got up. You continued that match. Like you said, you took a clothesline that almost broke your jaw to end the match. And there was a lot of haters because, you know, I took the stance on this interview that I'm taking no calls because I'm not going to take, you know, some retard getting on the line and trying to talk negative. But I'm going to address the things that I've heard through people, you know, through time. One of the comments had been Teddy was scared to take the cop killer and he had Jack run in to take it for him. And that was that. So, I mean, obviously, in my opinion, I don't agree with that. But what would be your comment on that criticism?
Let's just say that I'm like an undercover cop in the real world, so to speak. And you're not giving me a fucking cop killer because I'm not a cop that's going to get killed. So that's why the move didn't happen, because Homicide was never going to give me that move because he wasn't capable of killing a cop like me in wrestling. There's not that many cops of wrestling left. I would say I'm one of the few guys that you're not going to sniff a line of coke in front of without getting kicked in the face. You're not going to pop a bunch of pills and tell me, oh, I'm a vet. Then I'll say, fuck you, vet. I watched Jack Evans break his neck and he's never touched pills in his life. You're a coward, a punk, and a bitch. Ask Dynamite Kid what the consequences are of tapping out. You lose your legs. You sit in a wheelchair for the rest of your fucking life. When I mean cop and wrestling, I'm one of the guys that's going to do what I say I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure I get in there and I'm going to get a match out of whoever the fuck has the balls to step in the ring, if it's Homicide or not. Homicide's a hitman. They were hoping Homicide is going to kick the shit out of Teddy Hart so badly that he was going to quit wrestling and that would be the last you ever heard of me. But because I'm street credibility and I'm wrestling at the same time, Homicide sent some boys up to my house in Canada to see if they could hook up, I guess, with some of my friends and open up a business, so to speak, up there. And turns out Teddy Hart is kind of a real motherfucker. So they pulled my card, they took a picture of my ID, sent some guys up to my house in Calgary, and said if shit didn't fly for them, then I couldn't show my face in New York, New Jersey, or Philadelphia again without getting a bullet in the back of my fucking head after the show. So, I mean, that's the kind of stress I had, and I had to have guys come up and live with me from Homicide school. Deranged being one of them, Lit being one of them, is a friend of J-Train's and Homicide, Special K guy, Lee Mandon was another guy, Benny Blanco was a guy. So, I mean, Homicide was checking out to see, because you drop a guy on his fucking head like me, you might have a bad day later because you realize the guy's actually your friend and he's going to do a lot more for you in the business than most guys that are just trying to make $50 and maybe get a holy shit chance. I got a way bigger perspective on things. So I thought taking Homicide's shit and beatings after, say, two or three of them, maybe Homicide would tell the guys, you know what, this guy's real. And he's a good wrestler, and the fans know that. So, of course, yeah, I'm not going to take the cop killer when I got Gumby in the back who could get dropped on his head a million times more than I can. He'll take the cop killer. Why? Because the fans want to see the cop killer. So, eventually, if you ever get me in the cop killer, maybe it's worth something rather than getting to see that girl pull down her pants and fucking finger bang herself the very first time. You might just buy the video the fourth time because you haven't seen it happen yet. So, everyone's waiting to see, even to this day, Teddy Hart get killed by Homicide and the cop killer. Maybe he'll hook my arms and he won't actually let me go. He'll try to break my neck. That's what people are hoping or thinking. So once again, I've created controversy in a sport that's called fake. So maybe I'll get hurt for real. That's pretty cool if I can trick fans.
I hear you, man.
Supposedly the New Jersey fans, which are the smartest, hardest fans to get the pop. And they can buy a video or DVD and spend $3 more than they would have spent before. That hopefully I've created more jobs for independent wrestlers than fucking America by being on the show and, again, trying to make shit cool by not being a pussy, taking a booking I don't want to obviously take. I don't want to ride an airplane for 16 fucking hours, and that's how long it takes from two customs from Calgary all the way to New York, about 20 hours of travel time, get off a plane without going to the gym, and then basically get in the ring with a killer. I've never wrestled before or never trained with. Here's I'm an asshole because I punched his friend in the face. And a bunch of other guys are saying that whoever hurts Teddy Hart will give him some money or bookings or whatever power you get from hurting a guy like me who's basically standing in the ring letting you punch me, letting you kick me. It's my job to fucking be somewhat of a punching bag to a point, and then after that it's like you're taking advantage of somebody. You know what I mean? I never stiffed Homicide once.
Well,
after a while,
also, just to clear up the Jersey comment, I live in Jersey, always have, and I'm a fan for life, Teddy. I know people are going to say what they are about you, but, dude, I got your back always, man. You bust your ass out there. You fucking pop the fans. You definitely put your life on the line going out there doing what you're doing. You got a lot of haters even in the wrestling business, and that's not a fucking safe thing to do. And wrestling's not a safe thing to do if you don't have haters. So I respect what you do, man. I'll just let you know that, you know, straight off.
Like I say, I think this is one of the better interviews I've ever done, just because at this stage in the game, I really don't give a shit. I just want the truth to be known, and I'm not working in America, and I used to always want a job in WWE. I used to always kind of bite my lip, and I would never say what I wanted to say because I was always hesitant because I wanted that job. Now, it's passed me by, and it would be an awesome thing to have happen, but I'm not pissing in a cup for marijuana. I'm not going to pay a fine for smoking weed when I have a prescription for
right.
It just sounds ridiculous to me. That personally,
I don't blame you, man.
They've done a good job of making sure to keep guys like me out by making sure rules like that are in there. And that's, I think, on purpose almost, that they know certain guys out there are a certain way and they're never going to get a job in that company with all the rules and red tape, basically preventing guys from running a race the same as Batista or Triple H or Shawn or Brett. Those guys got to run before them. I'd like the
right.
same car. I'd like the same car with the same kind of wheels and the same kind of gas as you guys got to run that same race that none of you guys finished. We're all hoping that somebody finishes that race in wrestling, but no one's finished that race yet. And they want to
That's a great
give me
point.
A car with two. They want to give me a car with two flat tires and a fucking a speed limit, and I'm supposed to be running laps. I don't know how the
and
fuck
Teddy,
I'm gonna make that.
Teddy, let me add an analogy to your arsenal. Lawrence Taylor was one of the best guys, the defensive players in the league for years. Came out later, he worked pretty much his whole career on coke. It's real easy to be intense when you're on coke your entire career. So, put it that way.
Exactly. Imagine all the guys that cheated and played the game and never really actually did what I did straight, but they got the audience, they got the pay-per-view, they got the lights, the cameras. Teddy Hart's just a sad guy that kind of, maybe because he had a big mouth, did a little too much at the time, never got that chance. So, of course, I'm sad, and my feelings are a little hurt that I was overlooked. But, I mean, I picked up my bags, and I moved to Mexico during a drug war. And I believe I'm one of the most successful wrestlers in the history of Mexico. But you don't really hear about it that much because it's just not time. It's just about
right.
to become time where I'm now. I'm really trying to move my whole career down there. Why I was in Mexico before was, if you watch wrestling, I was very close to getting into the WWE. So I thought when Brett made his comeback, I was supposed to be in then, and that's when Brett and I had a serious falling out because I
right.
took basically Brett's word, and I left AAA, and Jack Evans and I were cut out of the Heart and Soul video. So that was another thing that Brett, I don't know if he was responsible for it or what had happened, but we were supposed to do that video. Jack and I took some time off, and we were cut out of that video, so we were the last guys from the dungeon never mentioned. And I'm also a heart that was never mentioned in the fucking Heart and Soul video, acting like I didn't exist, kind of, even though I've done more matches than CJ and Perry International combined. So that to me was kind of a kick in the ass. And then to be completely
sure.
overlooked due to an injury that I had in Dragon's Gate from Paul London, who I love, but he was extremely fucked up too, and I think it was more the fact that he kind of lost his spirit because all the cool moves that he was supposed to do to entertain the fans, he was never allowed to do, and he never hurt anybody. So
right.
that combination of shit, I really wanted to meet Gabe Sabolski, shake his hand, and tell him that I was proud that he was a good father, that he had a baby, that his wife and him were happy, and that basically he'd taken some of the stuff I had said and let it slide, and he wasn't holding a grudge anymore. So he let me work the Dragon's Gate USA show, which was a big thing for Gabe, because Gabe is basically putting a wild man in the back of his locker room who could technically punch him in the face or punch him out, and that's the chance he took because we had that kind of heat. But again,
right.
he put the fans first. He really took a serious chance because I'm supposedly crazy nuts. It's even on my record, you know what I mean, that I've been certifiably,
yeah.
you know, locked up too many times because I'm fucking nuts. But I mean, again, it's mostly a work, but it's pretty hard. You got to be kind of crazy to love the people enough to climb up 10 feet when you could climb to the second, you climb to the top, and you do something cool instead of a fucking splash or a double axel
right.
that everyone else has done, right? Again,
for sure. Now, Teddy,
so,
another guy that you've had, you know, past dealings with it, personally, I've never been a fan of, but you know, obviously he's very well known in the business. Steve Corino, what happened with him?
Just another guy that was jealous, but had a point that basically I had been in the dojo when he really needed a job, and I didn't really care about the opportunity or job that I got. So he kind of was bitching more that I was a spoiled brat when he didn't know anything about my finances personally, and I'm not a spoiled brat. Like I say, you could say 10 other things about me. I'm an arrogant prick. I spent too much time on my hair or fucking whatever, you know, stupid shit. But don't personally get into stuff you don't know about. He called me a goof. And I come from a bunch of basically gangster friends. And some of my buddies are bikers, so to speak. And I was in a Hells Angels clubhouse at the time and just hanging out there. And these guys heard the word goof on a shoot interview. They said, hey, we were watching a video of you, and this guy called you a goof, which means child molester. And you shouldn't let that shit slide, man.
So that's what it means in you know, where you're at?
That's a really bad thing to call a guy. So Steve Credo called me a goof, and it pissed me off enough to call Feinstein up, and I volunteered my time. I flew myself all the way down to Ring of Honor. That was the very first show that I was going to do. And the only reason I was there was to knock out Steve Corino in the back, which would have been absolutely no fucking problem. It would have been nothing.
Right.
One or two shots, and that guy would have crumbled like a fucking bag of shit. But I didn't.
Wow.
Again, Feinstein begged me, just like he begged me that night he was going to kill himself. And Feinstein, too fucking bad for you. I'm going to say straight up, I've been in a situation a couple times where I looked death straight in the eye, and I was going to probably kill myself too. But I didn't. We both took the high road and never did. And you owe me one, and you still might not want to acknowledge that, but you owe me one. So I'm going to say that now. What was I talking about? What was your actual question before this, though? We were talking about a certain guy?
I said about Corino.
I'm kidding. I'm just fucking with you. Corino. But sometimes people forget what the hell I'm talking about because I get onto something else, which is kind of like standing in front of the TV. If you're listening to what I'm saying, don't forget my point. It was about Steve Corino, and Feinstein begged me, please do business. Don't go in the back and punch out Corino, because Feinstein was curious of why I flew myself all the way down to a show and was just working for free. And so he goes, why are you here anyway? Really, shoot with me. I said, I'm here to knock out Steve Corino. He goes, why? Because you did a shoot interview with him on RF video, and he called me a goof in front of some guys. My dad basically raised me in front of all these psychotic motherfuckers in Calgary that are all gangsters, and some of them are even serial killer murderers that are in jail. They're my babysitters. It's documented shit. So, like, Teddy Hart's got a bit of a reputation, and I couldn't let that slide. So a $700 airplane ticket to me is nothing to fly down and visit Steve Corino in the back, knock his fucking teeth out for talking shit, and then go back to my little promotion in Canada that I run and never worry about doing an indie match. Teddy Hart never planned on doing an indie match in New York. I didn't need the stress or headache or risking getting propped on my head. If you look at my moveset, I was already doing all those moves before I ever went to New Jersey. It's not like I learned another move after that. It actually fucking put a handcuff, put a fucking blanket over me, because any move I did after that, fans would expect more and more and more. And then WWE says, well, we can't put you on TV because you gave away all those moves for fucking free. You know, so we can't charge
that. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, imagine that.
Dave,
yeah, so,
Dave allowed people to steal moves from other people on the indies and then get over with them on TV a million times. So let's
of
not.
Of course, and half my moves have been prostituted to whatever guy wants to steal my spots. My point again, though, Rant, Steve Corino, I saw him in the back, and Feinstein said, please, let's do business. I'm going to give you a big push down here. Let's work this program out. Don't worry about Corino. He does headlocks for 20 minutes and does 60-minute Ironman matches talking about old-school wrestling. Like it's a
right.
And it's boring shit, I'm sorry. But I can only watch a guy in a diaper hold a headlock from 15 minutes. I can't actually do a 5-minute fight or fucking
I agree wholeheartedly, dude.
Any of that stuff, right? It has a cholesterol count, like, way over what's the legal limit for an athlete of any sport calling himself professional. And I actually like Steve Corino now. He's not a bad guy. I'm just stating kind of back in the day when he was claiming he was the king of wrestling and all this shit, that he looked like a guy that hadn't hit the gym, hit a couple Twinkies, and then grabbed the microphone. And the greatest thing about wrestling is you can talk your way out of almost anything in this sport. Instead of having a good match, you can grab the mic and talk shit for half an hour, and the fans somehow get fooled by the mystique of sounding tough instead of actually working tough. Go to your 9-to-5, talk to the boss for 4 hours about bullshit, and try to get paid. He's going to fire your ass the second that happens twice. But in wrestling, for some reason, the fans keep allowing it to happen. So guys are overlooked. Like I say, hardworking guys like Ricochet and Pac, El Generico. There's so many good guys that are overlooked. And then you get some guy like Steve Corino, who's NWA champion, which really means fucking nothing, but it sounds cool.
NWA champion, right,
or ECW champion, when ECW was already kind of folded. It's like they carry around some belt that's like the same as carrying around a fucking black belt from a corner store that you bought, and you're claiming you're a martial artist when you never fucking did a stretch in your life or punched through a block, let alone maybe a block of styrofoam. Fuck, you know, and this is, like I say, this is the wrestling business, a bunch of fake guys walking around in a pair of spandex with a pair of boots on, knee pads for whatever other reasons they need them for behind the scenes, acting like they're tough guys. And I just couldn't swallow it anymore. So, but he got off real easy, basically, Carino. We finally fucking tracked him down years later to do a match in Pro Wrestling Explosion, which was Feinstein and Doug and another guy running that promotion in the ECW building. And I did get one match in with Carino, and he managed to have the ref do some fuck finish. And I don't even know what happened. It was like we were going to do three matches back to back to back. So I said, okay, well, let's just give you this one finish now, and then we'll come back and do the matches after that. And we never ended up having another match, and the promotion was closed down. And I've actually heard Carino say some good stuff about me, supposedly. I never heard it directly. I heard it from someone else. So I'm glad he did say some good stuff. But at the end of the day, the guy is one of the reasons I think professional wrestling sort of looked at as a sport that definitely could use some more cardiovascular training, and the guys could go to the gym a lot more. And steroids definitely should be used occasionally if you got that kind of body type or work ethic, because I don't know what the fuck happens when you go to the gym and no results happen. Obviously, you weren't in the gym doing anything more than talking to the mirror about the promo, or maybe sitting on the bike on like a really slow speed watching the fucking sports channel because you don't have cable at your house.
All right. Bryan Danielson, or Daniel Bryan as many people know him. I watched a match back in the day you had with him. He ripped your pants off and all that. I mean, you guys, you know, ended up having a good match. I actually forget what company was on. I have a DVD around here somewhere.
MLW.
From
MLW.
Okay. MLW. There you go. That. Yep.
I don't know why he ripped my pants off. But again, he's a great guy and a great wrestler, and it was a good match. And I was proud to get a victory over him. Kind of, it was always cool to see you tapped out the world champion, even though it's a work.
Sure.
You know, it's still kind of neat. You can show your friends on YouTube, whatever. So that's neat. I mean, I always thought it was a good match. I wish I could have had a match with him that actually counted when he was, you know, wanting to do a 40-minute match where we could both really show our stuff, because he is one of the best guys ever. Absolutely phenomenal. And he was in the Hart Foundation, just so you know. He was in Mexico before he was the world champion in WWE. He came down to Mexico and did a match with me and Jack Evans in Triple Mania. And he was the third member of the Hart Foundation, Next Generation Hart Foundation, down in Mexico. So I always thought that was kind of neat.
That's cool. Well, I want to ask you about this before I ask you about, you know, a lot of the current stuff. I know I've heard other places and stuff like that, and I definitely want to get that stuff out there that you're doing and your ideas. But I was really looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. Right here in Jersey. What happened, man?
I don't know if you remember, were you at the last show?
No, I wasn't.
I took a really wild bump, and I fucked up my leg pretty bad. So I've been having a lot of problems with my leg after that. And to get a match
with Matt Hardy?
Yeah, and to get a really good match with AR Fox in and then they wrestle Steiner and not be 100% just wouldn't be smart. So they kind of just said, you know what, at the money we're spending bringing you in, your ticket's like $1,200 right now, and you're pretty expensive to pay. Not that they didn't, and that's one of the companies that's always been really cool about bringing me in, basically. Just it wasn't worth the money at that stage. And also I had court, so we weren't sure if I was going to be allowed. I had a weapons charge against me right now, so I had to basically pay a lot of money to a lawyer and hopefully pray to God, which was yesterday. The charges were finally dropped by the Crown prosecutor here in Alberta, so the case never went to court, but I had to wait all the way up until, which is now, to book the ticket. So the ticket went all the way up to like $1,600 or something like that.
Wow.
And they're building that small. It only holds about 1,200 people. They're bringing in all these fucking guys. They have the craziest roster I've ever seen of guys, basically. So I just said,
I'll agree.
Save your money. Bring me in next month against Sammy Callahan. Let's see if Sammy Callahan's
really
as good
as he is. That'd be tremendous, man. Sammy's not only, you know, I'm a huge fan of Sammy as well as him being a friend of mine, and I'm telling you, man, I would love to see you and Sammy. I think the two of you could put on something that's never been seen before. Beyond just being a first-time match, I think you guys would really tear it up. So I would be there in person for sure.
That's our match next month. I'm pretty sure you can tell everyone out there so far. That's what they've sent me, is this, me against Sammy Callahan next month in PWS.
That is awesome. I will look forward to that. I hope you heal up well. Like I said, I'm sorry I don't get to see you, you know, tomorrow up against AR Fox. That was another just dream booking right there. But it's, you know, no problem, man. Heal up, take care of yourself. But your ideas now. I've heard some of these innovations and thoughts you have, and especially I definitely want to talk about, I mean, my name is Jay Cat Morris. I spent the last 11 years working for an animal shelter. I take care of cats. So when I hear Teddy Hart is coming out with a cat, what's going on, Teddy? You know, let me in. What's going on?
You know what? My poor cat almost just got his head slammed in the door. He's a lucky little guy here. I'm just catching him now. I'm switching cars for anyone in case it sounds different now. It's because I'm using my Bluetooth and I'm switching to the four seater right now. So
okay.
One of my favorite restaurants. I eat at this Japanese restaurant almost every day. It's my it was when I retired. I always wanted to eat at this one restaurant. I was lucky to kind of retire at 30, so I've been eating at this restaurant almost every day for like the last year and a half. Minus the 6 months I did in jail, and it's one of those treats that I get real excited for every single day, even though it's the same thing every day. To me, it's one of those restaurants that was just so phenomenal, and I got to put it over Japanese Village on this podcast. But back to the thing about cats, the cats in my life. I love cats. Cats keep away evil spirits and negative energy, and I think negative spirits, demons, negative energy, all that shit's basically the same thing. When you're not smiling enough, you're under stress. And when you're stressed, you can call whatever you want, all these different reasons and side effects. But again, to me, the more you can smile, the better your day is. Cats make you smile. And the more cats you have around without having them pissing all over your shit, because they do like to piss a little bit, especially if they're not fixed. I have 26 cats right now in my house, all Persian. And I'll have a channel pretty soon coming, which is basically like Teddy Hart and his cat jungle. So you'll see that. And I have a special cat.
26 Persians, huh?
Yeah, 26 Persians. So then 28, my wife, sorry, 28, because we just had, 29. We just had three more kittens today. And one didn't make it. So one kitten died and stillborn. And the other three are still, actually, their lives are still up in the air right now. So anyone out there, all you viewers, if there's 5 or 50 viewers or 500, whatever, please say a prayer for these three little kittens I got right now, because they're in God's hands. So,
yeah, I have 7 cats. They're all fixed, but one of them is a silver Persian, so I definitely have love for the Persians.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I got a silver one. I got 5 silvers at my house right now. Running around. So, but I got one silver named Squealer, and he's kind of trained for TV. He's coming out, but his dad is very, very smart. His dad's name is Mr. Money, or Gato Kombotis Jr. He's the brother of Jack Evans's cat in Mexico, and these were a scientifically altered cat. Supposedly, this veterinarian got them from this guy who was like doing some experiments on cats. And he claimed that he had genetically altered them to be more like dogs. I called bullshit on the whole thing. And, of course, I was sucked into buying one of these cats after, like a moron. Jack and I both bought them. And it turns out this guy may have been telling the truth, because this cat is fucking smart as hell. And he reminds me of a dog. And his best friend's a 140-pound pit bull I have. And you'll have to see Mr. Money in action. But he's a very, very light colored, kind of a pinkish beige Persian, and he does some pretty cool. He does like a moonsault.
he does like he has kind of like a,
wait a minute, he does a moonsault.
Yeah, he does a moonsault. He does like a twister. He can do some pretty cool shit. He does like a shooting star press on the guys. Like, he can do some stuff.
Are they seizures, or he just randomly just does this stuff, or what is he doing?
Well, I gotta throw him into a moonsault position, you know what I mean? But he'll land, like I say, relatively flat, and he seems to make sure that he lands with his stomach on your chest rather than his feet. So he's kind of loosened out. I know it sounds nuts, but it's not cruelty to animals.
It sounds nuts, Daddy. You know, I'm not bashing you or nothing like that, but it definitely sounds batshit crazy. But go ahead, Daddy. I mean, you're teaching me. I've just never seen these type of things, so.
Well, there's a cat on YouTube that jumps through a hoop of fire. So if you go on YouTube and you think about what you could do to your cat if you trained him every single day, and cats love treats more than porn stars love pussy. So,
well, that's a good analogy.
And that's not even a good analogy. I don't know. I just thought it was something I heard someone say, and I thought I was going to coin it and put it out there. But I like crazier than batshit, or batshit crazy, too. I thought that was a good one, too. And I am batshit crazy.
Yeah, well, that's all.
I love it's hard to train as rich women, you know what I mean? They're both almost impossible to get to do a fucking thing you want them to do. But I have a trick. There's these special treats, and I forget what they're called, like whisk. I don't know. I have to look in here 1 second. I think I have these temptations. And they're
okay.
Worth
actually use those, so yeah. I don't get them to do stuff. I just give them to them.
Yeah, temptations for cats are worse than, I don't know, worse than really, really good marijuana smoke for an ex-cigarette smoker. For a girl that's used to smoke cigarettes that's now smoking weed, let's just say the temptations are like some mango sour diesel and a little M&M on the on your microphone or on your radio. Kind of sounds that good, and the cats get that excited about it. They just get nuts. So you get these cats hooked on these temptations, and basically they'll do almost anything for them after that. So once I got the cats hooked, then I try to get them to do these cool tricks. Like right now, I got the cat sitting on the turnbuckle. So I'll have the cat on my shoulder. He'll jump to the top turnbuckle, and then he'll sit there and basically wait. And then hopefully we can do something where maybe the cat distracts a referee, or maybe the cat takes a piss on a guy or something even crazy like that. Who knows what kind of deranged, wacky, you know, shit I'm going to come up with.
Yeah. Now, you know, I heard you have a lot of different ideas to involve animals and monkeys and different things in the ring, and a dog, and to distract the referee with it. I mean, you know, what are some of your plans? Is some of this, you know, interaction that you would you know, see as possible in the future?
There's that Capuchin monkey that's in the movie Hangover. Imagine that monkey. There's got to be one in Thailand or somewhere out there. I got a guy that's training some monkeys in Mexico. But, I mean, you could have a monkey basically do a couple different things. Like, if you were sitting in a move, maybe the monkey could sneakily tie your shoes together. Something small. You stand up and you trip. Or maybe the monkey could distract your manager outside the ring. So you go to get your girlfriend to give you a kiss, and there she is, and the monkey's staring at her tits. And she's trying to give the monkey shit for looking at her tits. Instead, she's distracted. Where now you got to get your girlfriend's attention outside the ring, and now you're distracted. Roll you up 1, 2, 3. Monkey cost you the match.
Right.
You know, you need something small. I have another one. There's a horse. I got a horse that's fucking, instead of him pulling out his 10-inch horse cock and doing a donkey show, which I don't think is too entertaining for a 6-year-old kid in the audience or his mom.
No, usually it's not a family show.
Might be more cool to have the horse stand there, and you do a moonsault off the horse's back, and then the horse, maybe for a carrot, pulls the guy's fucking leg for a 1, 2, 3. You have a strap or something, I mean, along the lines of, like, what should a horse do? A horse could probably jump something. It could jump into the ring if you had a platform for it. Imagine the horse jumps the top ropes and stops the fucking ref from making the count. I don't know. I mean, you think about what you could have certain animals do. I mean, the crocodile hunter, that guy's taking crocodiles and showing you that there's some level of intelligence there. What about an octopus?
Sure.
Maybe you could have an octopus do something fucking crazy in a match where I'm involving a fish tank, or instead of like a cheesy piranha match where Wrestling Society X did it, maybe actually have a match where you build an enclosure around the ring that's got like some sharks on one side, and it's a work, obviously, an octopus and a dolphin on the other side, and fucking, imagine a dolphin jumps something and causes you to get a splash of some water in a guy's face, and all of a sudden you fucking give the guy a moonsault because he can't see you, something. I mean, you think about your imagination.
I mean, it's
and,
pretty incredible stuff, Teddy.
I just think it's not that far-fetched if you really think about what you have these dogs doing in these competitions. These dogs are unbelievably smart, you know, like a German Shepherd for police. What's that dog doing? So all of a sudden I got a dog, and instead of him biting the fuck out of someone, he does something different, but along the lines of attacking a guy. So I have a dog
right.
that whenever you see in a fucking power bomb, the dog jumps in the ring and attacks the referee or does something, but it's all safely done properly. How's that done? Practice, 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 practice. Practice makes perfect. You're not just going to have some reckless fucking guy take a tiger from in the back and bring it out to the ring. It's not going to happen. But if you can show the world with choreographing it and showing him with training and a lot of testing and trial and error and getting through
right.
it without any, you know, does NASA just put a fucking rocket ship and then just fly it to space? I mean, how much research goes into that? I mean, you're talking about taking animals, which everyone's got a cat or a dog in the world, a bird.
Sure.
Bieber had one. Imagine a bird in the ring. What could a parrot do in the ring to distract you? You know, could the parrot call the referee over? Hey, ref. It's like all of a sudden the ref comes over. What? It's like, I wasn't talking to you. It's like, well, who was? It's the bird. Fuck, I mean, they're having George, that guy who's a bodyguard for Snoop Dogg, come out as Brodus Clay, the last existing dinosaur with the human
right.
penis or something like that, to come out and shake his ass on TV when the guy's a badass ex-NFL football player and a hell of a wrestler. But, I mean, that's getting over, right? I mean, he used to have
yeah.
That big Rikishi come out, who was a great dancer, not... but a great wrestler, absolutely, and he'd shake his ass and get more of a pop from doing the ass shake in the corner than fucking Paul London did from doing the shooting star press.
Right.
So, I mean,
yeah.
again, you can take a guy's ass and shake it, then maybe you could take a cat, and instead of putting it in a box and shaking it and throwing it off a fucking bridge like a compassionate or like a heartless son of a bitch, maybe instead take the cat from the shelter and give him a bit of love and affection, because guess what? Now it's cool to be a cat owner, because there's The Rock with a Persian cat, or there's Teddy Hart with a fucking pink Persian cat doing a moonsault, or whatever the hell I can
right.
help. I've done a couple too many bong hits with the old AAA smoke. Maybe I ate too many mushrooms or something. I lost my fucking mind again, risking my life for the family or risking my life for my family name or for the people that spent their good hard-earned money on professional wrestling, a dying sport with a bunch of lazy fat fucks in it that call themselves athletes when most of them couldn't do shit. And all the young guys are, like I say, risking their lives, breaking their necks, and getting overlooked. Hopefully this won't happen in the future, and you'll hear me and say, it sounded like that guy was actually making sense back in the day. Instead of some
right.
retard ranting about a fucking cat and some other shit, you know. Because, I mean, I can imagine if you just listened to what I said and didn't know me, I would sound like a moron or a fucking guy, like I say, batshit nuts.
you had said a lot of different things, too, about, like, different innovations with the ring, trampolines and platforms and this and that. Now, you had said also back with the Mat Rats thing that they did platforms back then. Is that the first time that you know of that they actually did platforms in wrestling? Because now they do aerial assault matches in CZW. They sometimes put platforms on cages in all different companies. And, you know, what's your insight on that?
Basically, I don't want to give away too many of my ideas on that one, because it's really the TNA
okay.
loves stealing ideas, and WWE, I don't know if they're
that's
giving
okay.
But I'm going to tell you, like I say, you can just picture what a garage door opener does. And if you could have a garage door opener that opens a door with a trampoline underneath, and instead of having to get a chair as a weapon, I open a garage door opener. So I get a garage door opener as a weapon. So I got some guy that's sitting in the audience. He's got a garage door opener. He's got a rope. He's got a set of shoes. And fuck, what do the shoes do? Well, the shoes have magnets in them. So now I can climb up fucking a wall that normally I couldn't climb up of, and now I can jump up to the next level. The next level is, well, anything you want it to be. It could be now I have to hit a move on that thing, which is involving a double twist or something like along the lines of once you've reached the next level, now you're in a different area where no one's ever been before. So you could do things that no one's ever seen before, which is innovate wrestling and make wrestling, again, more interesting along the lines of like, picture if you had a room that was, instead of a bunch of stairs, the stairs were all trampoline. Everything was padded. Everything was revolving around basically like bungee cords and trampolines and ropes, curtains that you could basically hang on and swing off of, kind of like balconies,
right,
that were adjustable. So you have a balcony, and maybe the balcony is connected to something, and the whole balcony raises or lowers, or maybe the top rope is on a hydraulics. And something like a diving board comes out of it, like a TV antenna. It can go from one level to another level to another level. Maybe something opens up from on top of that, swivels out, Transformer styles. In the ring,
yeah,
like itself can be moved. I mean, would it cost Vince McMahon that much money instead of making a movie about the Marine 2 with the guy, like I say, that from what I was told, I don't know exactly the history of it, but was, I think, dishonorably discharged from the Army. And, again, that would be Randy Orton. Nothing against you, buddy.
Orton.
At all, but instead of making that movie, maybe add some pads to the ring that have a little bit of spring in them. So instead of just having a normal floor, you have a trampoline floor or a padded floor with springs in it. So instead of hitting just a normal back bump, you can hit a double back handspring, something like that. I mean, just make it, just give me the options to make it different as an athlete. And
right,
the only way you can do that is by changing the ring and the surroundings of a ring. And guess what's so cool about wrestling? There is no fucking rules.
All right.
So don't tell me, or it's going to throw psychology out the window when psychology really is just what the fans want to see at that time and place.
What is your thoughts on TNA's booking? I mean, you have dealt with, I guess, Dixie Carter at some point. What's your thoughts on her direction with the wrestling business right now in TNA's standpoint?
I don't watch TNA enough to know anything about it. Sorry, man. I can't even answer that question. I just know basically that.
I mean, like your involvement with TNA and if you think they have the right mindset when you work there.
I don't think TNA really has the right mindset. They're trying to copy the WWE instead of being something completely different, instead of just being what they are. They're always kind of running a second place race because they're always trying to do something which is make themselves number one in an area where they should be different. They're not going to ever be McDonald's, and they should accept that fact and move forward and be proud to be Subway. But for some reason, they keep trying to call themselves McWendy's, and it's like, I never heard of McWendy's. It doesn't work out. It's either your Wendy's or McDonald's or fucking Burger King, but stop trying to be 3-1. And stop selling a Whopper as a Big Mac when it's fucking not a Whopper anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. What would you say is your favorite match that you've ever had?
Probably against Jack Evans or maybe against Juventud Guerrero in TNA. My very first match in TNA with Juventud right after the Johnny Storm one. That match was pretty good. Watch it on YouTube. Me and Jack Evans had one in PWS. That was pretty good. I've also had, I like my match with Trent Acid. I thought that was a really good one. Probably, I have to say, the best match I've ever had or the most fun I've ever had in the ring would have to be with Jack Evans.
Now, putting everything you have, you know, you've wrestled tons of people, what would be your dream matches at this point?
I think I had this question before from a guy, and I said, hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
I said
yep.
Shawn Michaels would be my dream match. I really would like to wrestle Shawn Michaels. I also would like to wrestle Rey Mysterio Jr. if I could. I think both those matches would be really cool. And, I always think Jack Evans and Tyson Kidd and Harry Smith as a tag teams or tag teams in, as a tag team, all four of us, or as a tag team or as tag teams. Different, us being the Hart Foundation, them being the Bulldogs or whatever it was supposed to be. That would have been pretty cool to wrestle those two guys too. Me and TJ, me and Cap versus Ricky and Harry, I think it would be a phenomenal match. Because we all got to work with each other so much, kind of like AJ and CM Punk, Joe and Daniels and all those guys. They got to work each other so much that you got to see
some pretty cool stuff because they were comfortable with each other. They really trusted each other. They knew what they were going to do next. They could anticipate because they worked with each other. So you never got to show those matches. You never got to see any of that stuff. Again, overlooked or eclipsed or serious politics in wrestling where some sneaky guys in the back were really playing fucking dumb, but making sure those matches never happened and probably never will.
Right. Now, you say overlooked and all of that stuff, and you mentioned some people before. Who do you think the future of the wrestling business are today? Obviously, including yourself.
I you know what? The future of the wrestling business, my friend, are the fans. And I don't know about the boys because I've seen so many good wrestlers completely overlooked, and I've seen some fans cheering for guys that sucked. And I really am baffled by half the time the fans of wrestling just are, I don't even know what to say. I don't want to say they're morons because I just don't think that would be a, I don't think that'd be a smart thing to say because I think a lot of the fans just don't get to see the right stuff. So they're almost, they're stifled with some shit that really sucks, but because they didn't know the difference, they think it's really good. And it's hard to change some minds sometimes. And sometimes people just, they accept the fact that they're watching shit and they get used to watching shit. And it's hard for them to change their mindset after that because they've almost been brainwashed that this is what it's supposed to look like and this is what it's supposed to be. And then when they watch these other guys come up and do way, way, way more stuff, they're still stuck trying to say, well, he didn't really have any psychology. And it's like, well, what the fuck is psychology? It sounds like another one of those kind of swerves where Teddy Hart took the show into his own hands, which is exactly what wrestling is, and he did a bunch of moves that were not planned. It's like, thank God someone did a move not planned in wrestling. I would hate to think that every single fucking thing is planned in wrestling. More than, hey, Jimmy Snuka is going to do a splash. What kind of fucking planning does the guy in the bottom have to do besides wait there? If I do a shooting star, a leg drop, or a splash, guess what your job is? To do the same thing, which is wait there. So, I mean, you could really think it was planned or not. That sounds more like bullshit, them breaking kayfabe to smarten up a bunch of fans that didn't understand what the fuck went wrong. All they knew that was basically two guys, me and Jack, got a whole bunch of people to pop. Instead of breaking my neck with a fucking chair shot, I somehow did some cool high spot that made you wonder if God was somehow actually in the building that night protecting me and Jack because we should have got hurt and we didn't. But again, we should have got a lot more credit out of it and we did not.
Now, that's something that I've always defended is they're labeled as spot fest. And a lot of the people, you know, who do the matches, a lot of other wrestlers like to label them as spot monkeys and that type of thing. Now, I always see that as like a really exciting match that the crowd is going crazy to. I don't know why once the match is over, everybody's supposed to look at it and go, yeah, but it wasn't all right. That was just a spot fest. I don't understand why it's so frowned upon other than the hard work ethic that gets put into it, you know?
This is one of those things, there's timing and there's placement, and you can do a lot of those cool moves if the timing and the placement's right, and that's the thing. A lot of these young guys, it's not their fault, they don't have, because there's nobody teaching them what to do anymore, because most of the guys are either so broke, and they're trying to steal the money from the young guys now that they're not actually letting the young guys go in and do anything cool because they're kind of worried about the young guys going in and making them look bad. So the young guys get fucked where they don't get any credit or worthwhile advice from an older guy on how to make that 5-star match, which he just had, a 6-star match, which is impossible, which, you know what I mean? Like, you never hear about that.
Right.
Because these guys like A.R. Fox and Samurai Del Sol, instead of getting given a pat on the back by some old vet, the guy says, well, listen, kid, you know, that was too much, and, you know, this is psychology. And then all of a sudden they're kind of taking everything that guy did, which is being a wrestler, deciding that he's his own boss and he's going to do his own shit. He's going to make his own mind up on what he thinks fans like, not what some old fart in the back says. But somehow that old fart in the back weaseled his way in, calling himself a WWE talent scout or something, and he's got the promoter in the back, and he's, like, now watering down the card. Somehow, and I've seen it happen time and time again with these great guys, these young guys. They have these awesome matches called Spot Monkeys, Spot Fest, whatever. All I know is personally to me, I like seeing a lot of special effects, and I like a lot of car crashes. But if you can give me a little storyline with it, that's awesome. You know what I mean? Obviously, I'm going to appreciate
it.
I always do and appreciate the spots for what they are and the risks these guys take in doing them.
But if you can make these guys, like, fucking tell a story like Bret Hart, but do some athletic shit like Shawn Michaels, and at the same time be kind of reckless and crazy like Mankind and Sabu, what a cool wrestler you just created. I would really
like
that. And how do you get that guy? Through lots of coaching. Lots of
tape watching,
and lots of variety of advice from guys that, instead of Wayne Gretzky, imagine Wayne Gretzky with two teeth in his mouth, stinking of vodka, fucking broke, asking you for $5, and then telling you what the fuck you did wrong at the hockey game when he could barely tie his shoes. And that's half the wrestlers that are out there, these guys trying to give advice. And it's like, shut the fuck up and go to rehab. I had to for marijuana. You should go to rehab for being a fuck-up father, why living your life, pilot of life, looking like a jerk-off, and wondering why nobody wants to be wrestlers anymore, because most of the guys in wrestling are broke jokes. And I don't know why that is. And they're scare-hating fuckers, and they don't give the right advice to the young guys. Like, fuck, that was so cool that you did about 20 things I never could in my wildest dreams do. Imagine some guy at Sony with a fucking old Walkman in his hand saying to the guy with the mini disc, I just can't put that product out there. It's just too new and revolutionary. It might actually make people like music more and make it too easy to have all the songs on one place. So you'd have to spend like another like 6 hours normally. Imagine fucking having to tape every tape and keep that with the technology. And there's, some old guy had a, well, I don't know if we could do that. And it sounds like it might just be too good. We can't do a double moonsault. We just can't have it happen, because I'm still doing the old splash off the top. And I want the fans to pop like I really risk my life. Technically speaking, in the NFL, it's why guys don't last that long, because there's so many other guys coming up with new shit and are bigger, fucking faster, stronger. But in wrestling, it's not a real sport, and athletics doesn't really mean as much as it should. So a lot of guys get away with just being monotonous, lazy, fat fucks, and that's why wrestling's dying to me. I don't know if I even answered a question there. I just went on another one of my...
Yeah, nah, I got you, man. It's all welcome. What was your thoughts on Wrestling Society X and that whole project?
I was going to say a waste of my time, but I bit my tongue. So I got a lot of really cool moves done, and I got them shown on a worldwide level, on a worldwide platform. So that was cool. And Kevin, you have to meet him. Really good guy. The rest of the project was a complete fucking abortion, to tell you the truth. And it was a shame that those guys pissed away that much time and money and booked a whole bunch of their friends and buddies when... The show should have been absolute bread and butter, best guys in the world, and that was it. But a bunch of guys were fucking around. Somehow X-Pac always manages to have his nose involved in shit, and he's one of those guys. I love X-Pac, but it seems like anything he does that's not involving the WWE that he gets involved in is specifically sabotaged by him, because he's a WWE secret agent kind of. So he was involved. He was taking up matches. He wasn't in any ring shape to really do much more than basically be a manager at the time, I think. And he actually had some good matches in Wrestling Society X. It wasn't bad at all. But, again, just certain guys, Vampiro being involved, wanting to push a couple other guys, and just a whole bunch of guys that really shouldn't have ever been in the ring. They had no fucking clue and no... they should have...
Yeah. What were the other problems, do you think, like overall?
They didn't do a good job taping. They had no audience. Imagine a show in L.A. with 50,000 homeless people. You couldn't find 1,000 people to fill a building for wrestling for an international TV show. They were actually paying fucking fans, and you had to be an actor. You had to have an actor's guild card or whatever it was, and you're getting $9 an hour to sit in the audience, and I had to pay for your food, 3 meals. Because you're part of an actor's deal. That's how fucking dumb it was. So, and they brought no good bands in. Imagine Eminem on that show once getting in the ring and doing a run-in, or 50 Cent or anything cool that would have been combination of wrestling and music. What's the point of it being on MTV? So some fucking announcer can tell you that I never really watched wrestling. I think it's kind of not cool because I didn't watch it. So obviously I didn't think it was cool for any of the formative years of my fucking life when I spent 20 years watching everything else but wrestling. Let's have this guy on as an announcer. Do you know anything about anything? And he goes, no, I don't. But I'm here as a guy you picked because you're one of six names they could get cheap enough from MTV to basically come in and kind of act like there was some cross, whatever,
cross, what would be the word? Cross contamination? Because it definitely wasn't cross.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, and basically waste a bunch of people's time with watching a wrestling show which everyone got excited about and then flush it down the toilet with the reality of they didn't do any planning right. You build a house on a shitty foundation, it sure looks like a hell of a house. A strong wind comes by, just like that Three Little Pigs, whatever. They didn't obviously build the right foundation, and some wolf came by and blew the fucker down like it was nothing.
Absolutely. At this point, you know, what are your goals?
To innovate some more moves, to create another 20 years of wrestling controversy, that wrestling is real because you really can get hurt, and you really have to take your enemy or your stranger, and you have to take his life and his body and his wife and his kids, and you got to take that all into consideration and try to have a good match where you both look good and you both leave the fans wanting more, at the same time satisfied that they got enough for their money, and keep breeding cats. And my wife and I are very happy traveling the world, and hopefully we'll find some more girls and guys to help with our wrestling school, and we'll be able to pass on our legacy that way. And hopefully Conan and AAA will continue doing extremely well in Mexico, and maybe they'll get a U.S. TV deal in the future. Knock on wood for me, say a prayer. And that if
sure.
that does happen, we'll get to see Teddy Hart on an international market, and I'll start getting able to book some of the guys I want to book, and we'll be able to create magic, which is keeping wrestling alive and unpredictable, and wondering how the fuck that guy got up, and if, you know, if it's real, along the lines of, I don't know how those two guys, they look like they wanted to kill each other in the back after shaking hands and having a drink.
Who are some of the guys we can look out for that you've trained or you're training currently?
Basically, I think I've actually trained a lot of guys without ever spending a dollar or spending a... I'll say a problem, sir. I'll just... Well, speaking too quickly. I'm trying to get into my restaurant here now, so I'm going to...
Okay.
The guys I really like would be guys I think that watch stuff we did, or watched AJ Styles, or watched Rey Mysterio Jr., or watched Dean Malenko, or Chris Benoit, or Booker T, or Sean. These guys, I mean, you got to watch so many different guys in wrestling and then create a style that's sort of a hybrid of different parts of those guys' offense and defense and the way they sell and the way they cut a promo, the way they wear their tights, or the way they hold their fucking, you know, the Boston Crab or a sharpshooter, certain characteristics or traits that each wrestler has unique to his own that you can take, copy, change slightly, and modify, and then create, like I say again, a hybrid style of
right.
a bunch of different guys like Benoit and Brett and Sean and Rey Mysterio Jr., and then all of a sudden you got some guy like Samurai Del Sol that pops out of nowhere. You know what I mean? Which
right.
is kind of like a combination of me and Jack Evans and Rey Mysterio Jr. all in one. And then you see another guy like A.R. Fox, who's just another phenomenal guy. I'm sure he's watched a couple of my DVDs before. Looks like he has. He probably watched Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, too, back in the day. So it's like me saying, well, I trained that guy. Well, how did you do that? Well, you watched some of my matches. It's like, well, that doesn't mean shit. The guy stole a spot from you, so that means you trained the guy? No, what it means is if A.R. Fox is asked about Ted Hart, he might say that guy did a lot of cool shit, and watching him helped me develop a style, because you don't want to be the same as anyone else, and you kind of always want to be different and a little better than the guy that came before you. So, you know what I mean? It's hard to be better than Teddy Hart or Jack Evans or Shawn Michaels. Very hard.
Right.
I mean, we do every single fucking thing you could do. So to be better than me is very, very difficult. Not saying I'm the best, but I've done the most moves without hurting anybody in the world. I mean, you watch the videos, and you fucking can lie to yourself if you want to, but the video game characters, I do more shit than the video game characters do in the goddamn video games in real life. And apart from me, Jack, there's only one guy on the earth right now that's doing it more shit than me consistently without hurting anybody, and that's Pac. And Ricochet probably is capable of doing the same stuff. I haven't really seen. I've been watching some of their matches now, kind of just as a surprise to myself. I knew they were doing phenomenal stuff, but I didn't want to watch their stuff until a little later because I was depressed that I wasn't able to get those guys, and I wasn't wrestling in PWG enough. Based on my
Super Dragon,
which is, again, my own fault. I didn't know who Super Dragon was, not that anyone cares, and I wasn't even asked this question, but I really like PWG for being probably one of the best wrestling companies in the world for pure wrestling and giving a lot of guys opportunity and booking a lot of cool tag team combinations. that Super Dragon, I think I had said something. I didn't know who he was, and he was wearing a mask or something, and then someone asked me after, and I said, I had no fucking clue who that guy was. I said, I'm sorry, but I never knew him. And I think someone kind of shit-stirred, and he took offense to it. And after that, I never really got to, I never got a fair shake in the PWG based on probably my own area. So that's a company I really would like to work for, or kind of recreate something like PWG combined with Ring of Honor, combined with Dragon's Gate USA, but do it in Canada with the main Next Generation Stampede Wrestling attached to it, and with guys like Conan and maybe Kid Cash. I really like him. He came up here potentially as sort of liaisons, guys that would help coach and bring talent in from TNA, which has allowed basically their guys to go work anywhere that has a contract and a ring that doesn't have conflicting gates with them. So, I mean, I would try to recreate Stampede Wrestling with all these different guys, these new guys, and hopefully that would be a show with Mexico and Japan involved and Canada. It would create an international frenzy and recreate something that Stu Hart and WWE kind of had before, which was that mystique, that layered system where you could take a guy from Japan, put him in Stampede, and then in Stampede, if he did well in Stampede, you pretty well knew he was ready to go into the WWE after that, or WCW.
All right.
And then those guys all made a lot of money, and it was a really cool way of doing things because they had a direct, like, they had a feeder system, and you could go from place to place protected and polish your skills and then still get paid a reasonable amount of money and carry yourself, conduct yourself like a professional wrestler with some pride and have a lot of people consider you a prospect, which now kind of is like the guys I look at as prospects now would be like Sammy Callahan, supposed to go to WWE, so they say, and I don't know how the fuck they say that when I don't know anybody in WWE and I don't know any talent skills. I just go on what the fans say. And a fan say he's going to go up, so he must be doing some pretty cool shit. You know, and I hear about other guys coming up. I got a whole bunch of names of guys that are at home, and I don't want to say names of guys if I don't know you guys properly, and I haven't been watching all of the new guys yet as much as I should have been, but I've been concentrating on a select group of guys so far. AR Fox, Samurai Del Sol, there's a guy named Willie Mack out in California. He's really good. The Young Bucks, they're always impressive to me. Whatever the generation, me or generation, whatever they wrestle as. Alex Shelley, Chris Sabin, AJ Styles, Andrew Hawks. There's a guy named Messy Room Steve. I forget what Asian Assassin Steve. He's pretty good.
Right.
He's those are all guys I kind of hope to God they get their chance to shine, and then I'll do anything with my power, money, and in my faith and prayers to make it happen for them.
Awesome. Well, one thing, you know, before, I don't want to hold you from your dinner, so I don't want to hold you on too much longer, but one thing I always ask is, and you're one of those guys that's going to give me gold, I know it, is a Yakuza Kick promo from Teddy Hart.
What's the Yakuza Kick promo?
Yeah, that's, well, the name of the show is Yakuza Kick Radio, and I'm Jay Cat, and a promo Teddy Hart style for the radio show Yakuza Kick Radio.
Now I understand. This is Teddy Hart, the past, present, and future professional wrestler. All you player-hating sons of bitches want to be me, and all your girls love to see me. And when your kids meet me, I greet thee with a smile, because Ted Hart and many, many other guys go the extra mile. Jack Evans, this is a shout-out to you. I hope to God you come back to Canada and bless the Canadian fans with another 360 corkscrew 630 off the top ropes. And to all those other guys out there, to, I guess, just keep wrestling alive, guys. Keep watching and loving and telling people about the guys that are good. And try to be good to your friends and family. And if you got an animal, definitely make sure you feed it and walk it and love it. And I know God's watching all the time.
Yeah. So if you have any plugs to give to anybody out there, or where they, people can find you or contact you, or where they're going to see you next, you know, throw that out there.
AAA, I'm down there all the time now, back there full time. I think my next show's on the 16th.
Okay.
I'm in PWS, not this month, but next month against Sammy Callahan, and hopefully that'll be a good match and opportunity to see some new talent. Heard he's doing awesome, and I've watched some of his videos. He looks phenomenal, real intense, good look, and hopefully he keeps hitting the gym, gets some size on, and, you know, it's about my shout-out to anyone out there. Fucking keep hitting the gym, keep watching the tapes, and keep trying to eat clean and live clean, and you'll have good karma, and you'll live a lot longer on this beautiful planet if we all work together to keep it that way. Like I say, science and technology are going to bring us all to a point where we're almost godly. After that, we got to remember the simple rule that we're not God, don't kill shit, and try to protect the weak, the women and the children out there, and make sure we got a fucking good future by taking care of the present. Being a good person is integrity. Try to do what you say you're going to do. And that's, like I say, as much preaching or bullshit you're going to hear out of me right now. I got to get into eat, brother. So God bless you. And I'd like this interview, if you could put it on YouTube or something like that, that would be awesome.
Absolutely, man. I'll do my best to do so. Thank you so much for coming on, Teddy. It's been a great, great show, and I can't thank you enough for the interview, and I hope to see you live soon, man.
Perfect. Then shoot me a text with your real number on it so I can call you after and we can talk in person.
I will do, man. Will do.
Thanks very much. God bless you.
All right, man. God bless. All right. That was the great Teddy Hart. Everybody knows Teddy. I promised Teddy and I delivered Teddy, and that's what he gave us, almost 2 hours. And to be completely honest with everybody out there, he promised me an hour and said, we'll go from there. Well, we are only a couple minutes shy of doing 2 hours, and Teddy gave me everything I expected Teddy to give me. So, again, I thank Teddy. There's no one else to thank, but, you know, him for coming through for me. Teddy's a guy who no surprise to anybody, has a reputation for no-showing people. I don't fucking pay people a dime, and I can't judge anybody on anything but what they do with me. So as far as I go from this point out, I can vouch for Teddy Hart as being a guy who didn't no-show me. And, you know, I mean, I had Justice Payne no-show me fucking 3 times before I actually got him on. He gave me a 2.5-hour interview. I'll give him all the credit in the world for actually finally coming on, because he never had to. Again, you don't get paid. You don't get nothing. Justice Payne was done with wrestling. It didn't matter one fucking second that I put him on. But I did, and I was very happy with that. And as far as Teddy, first time, dude gave me his word. He came on, and I got to be honest with you guys, all of a sudden seeing his name disappear from the card on this upcoming weekend as of, well, tomorrow, he was supposed to wrestle A.R. Fox next day up against Scott Steiner. I was nervous than a motherfucker, and I had everybody on this fucking internet, oh, ask him this, ask him this, ask him this, and I'm just sitting there to myself saying in my head, just come through, Teddy, come through, Teddy, come through, come through. You know, I had every question. Nobody gave me any question that I didn't already have. I already had all this stuff in my mind that I wanted to ask Teddy Hart. And I was just like, man, he's just got to come through for me, and everything's going to be okay. And bottom line is, you know, Teddy had enough coming through. I'm very happy about it. Like I said, I mean, he's another guy that I really respect. He put his body out there for real, like he does all the time. He doesn't bullshit. He doesn't go out there and put on a, you know, 5-minute match that it's all headlocks and a roll up. He does some shit out there that's fucking risky. And, you know, not everybody's going to respect that. Not everybody's going to like that. But one thing Teddy has done is he's popped the fans. And I think the majority of wrestlers are going out there to do just that. So, I mean, let's be real here. All right. What I think I'm going to do now is, I guess I'll give you guys a little more time. Why not? I'm going to play a track, and then I'll come back, and I'll check this out. And then I'll come back, and I'll do a little more content, and then I'll close the show out. All right? Wait, hold up.
Left Rock City, Queens. Yo, this is Ocknell with my man's complexion. And right now, we represent all the guys with more than $10 in their pocket. Still gonna be playing, even though they not paying for the whole night. You know what I'm saying? Saying.
Girl, would you fuck me for free? Free. fuck me for free.
Spending cash for ass, I got some quarterback shit, and now just pass. I'm a little too fast for y'all gold diggers on that OJ tip. Straight trying to juice a nigga, that's why I don't believe in holidays. I'm eating your mom, eating out a restaurant and taking your ass to that prom. I'm straight up, like the collar on the farms, living like a dawn, and just my name was Perry on. Ladies fucking men for money all night long, but that sound like a nigga eating swan while reading the Quran. Therefore, I run game on they brain. You catch a sign, daughter. In the Ramada with eight bitches and a five pizza filled with enchiladas, and all y'all girls can have a slice on me. Cause tonight, me and my people, we fucking for free. Free, free, free.
Girl, would you fuck me for free?
Imagine I'd pay for all the girls I fuck. I'd be broke as fuck with a broken heart, cause I can't fuck. Now what the fuck type of shit is that? In this position, cause I was drinking like a magician. Girls in the world trying to take your bread. Put your wallet in your hat, nigga, and hold your head. It's the hot nail, you know I rock well. Girl, I get up in that ass like KY Dell said. If I wanna fuck, I gotta spend cash. Niggas must have had their tongue in your butt, cause you're talking out your ass. Huh, I just came to bust a nut.
Yeah, that's a little throwback a little bit. It's Teddy Hart. Like I said, I mean, what more can I say? One other thing I wanted to put out there. I didn't have to. Of course, I don't have to fucking do that, especially shitting on people. But, you know, I do. See, I have my opinion on Anthony de Blasi, Don Tony, Mass Maniac, that whole bullshit. And I got to reiterate, because if someone hasn't listened to me before and they're, you know, tuning in for the Teddy Hart and then hear this and they're like, oh, my God, look at him just shit on Don Tony. And, oh, we love that guy. He gets fucking millions of listens every year. Well, anyway, here's my opinion on Don Tony. Anthony de Blasi. He was a money mark for fucking wrestling back in the day, period. That's all he ever fucking was. Okay. Then now in the radio, podcast, hotline, all of that world, the dude has been a giant in that. He has put out tremendous amount of shows. He has done it weekly, relentlessly. He's got himself such a following that he earned with everything he put out there. There is nothing
I can take away from that dude for what he put out there. And I can tell you, as far as his current content, the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show, they know their shit as far as old school wrestling. That is my main thing, something I've said for a long, long time now. They know their shit as far as old school wrestling, far preceding anything that I know, because I'm 34 years old. You know, they're older than me. They know a lot of shit that, you know, I wasn't old enough to know. I wasn't old enough to be in that era of watching wrestling when they were watching wrestling. So you'll actually learn a lot from a lot of their combo on that stuff. Things go off on another, like, very, very ignorant path on a lot of different things. And that's some shit that, like, I always feel, like, just compelled to call them on, because it's not fucking cool, like, in my opinion. Like, if you know old school and old school and old school and old school, and I started talking some of the same brand of shit that they talk about old school, knowing that I don't know shit about old school, other than, you know, different things I've heard from other people, they'd call me out on it in a second. Don Tony has made, like, a general statement that he'll carry until he dies, that the indies are just like the indies are off Broadway, and, you know, WWE is a Broadway show. I mean, let's be real. I mean, they spend the majority, just like any other honest podcast, majority of the time disliking the TV product. But for whatever reason, they will not – well, I'll tell you Don Tony's reason, but they will not invest their time in watching the indie product. They'll just go, it's not good enough. No, there's just a bunch of guys doing stuff I don't like. Oh, they're just all spots in there. Just these young guys don't know what's going on. It's not like it. But then they're watching fucking Raw, and then they're watching TNA, and they're shitting on it and how horrible it is. Nobody's good enough in the whole entire scene of the indies. That's the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard. So something like that will immediately just perk me up, like, what? Like, oh, wow, fuck that. Because, again, if I was shitting on some of the stuff that they respected in the old school without knowledge of it, they would be the first people to call me out. Like, if I was on their page, of course, they don't listen to my fucking show, but in the same token, they would be the first one to call me out if I put it on their page or anywhere, like, right in front of them, or they don't take calls anymore because they don't want debate. But and I'm not really even the one to call up and debate them, because it's their show. That's bottom line. It's their show. They earned every bit of followership they have. I don't try to take anything away from them. But on my own show, I'll address stuff like this. And so that's that. Another thing I got to put out there, that's the only reason I'm bringing it up currently, is because, well, Mass Maniac to me is just a complete hack that he rode the wave of the indies being almost non-existent and having all the talent at his disposal at the cheapest price possible, paying for the majority of his shows with ticket sellers and other money marks that would pay for wrestlers to be on his show, like names and stuff like that. And he would sit back and just collect the fucking income that came off of that, which, I mean, hey man, if you could do it, it's money in your pocket. And that's what I guess it's all about. If you run any company beyond wrestling, in wrestling, I mean, it makes all the sense in the world. Okay. So, but he talks a lot of ridiculous shit. Like, he doesn't pay attention to a part of the indies because he does not give a fuck about wrestling. He lives his life. He lives a good life. He has a lot of money, and he doesn't have to worry about wrestling. He doesn't enjoy wrestling. He doesn't watch the indies. He doesn't respect the work of the guys that go out there. It's just like, what have you done for me? Okay, yeah, you sold tickets for me 10 years ago. You ain't worth shit but selling tickets for me now. That's his shit. Like, he works like a mob boss. Like, hey, I don't know, you know, take your bullshit up the block to somebody who cares. Like, he doesn't watch the indies. He doesn't progress. He doesn't allow people to develop. You know what I mean? And this honestly shouldn't be my problem, but for some reason I catch high offense to it. So then de Blasi, he runs his highly opinionated, highly, you know, I'll tell you how this should be. I'll tell you how that should be. I don't watch this. I don't watch that. That's garbage. This is good. He does that on his show. He needs to be held back by Kevin Castle, because Kevin Castle is the more, I guess I would say mild-mannered, for lack of a better term. But he kind of keeps like a somewhat of a control on Don Tony on going too far off the reservation with, you know, certain things and race and this and that. And, you know, what's wrong with you every once in a while? So I kind of pulls him back in a little bit. But anyway, as soon as de Blasio gets on Mass Maniac show, this motherfucker, he goes from, like, someone trying to pull him back in to, like, this dude's in a crate getting sprayed with a hose. Like, he's a bitch on that show. Straight the fuck up. Don Tony, at fucking 40-something years old, acts like a goddamn bitch on fucking Mass Maniac, who, like I said, is a fucking hack who ain't worth shit other than fucking riding the fucking wave of the wrestling business being at his disposal at the time where he made it happen. And he drew huge fucking houses off of other people's work, off of other people's money, off of other people's every fucking thing, and was just the guy that fucking collected that shit in the end and treated everybody like shit and continues to do so. So when he runs his fucking, his big reunion in fucking September, everybody's going to flock to that because, oh my God, USA Pro, USA Pro. But the product that was put out was not being paid for through the workers that put it out. It was being paid out through fucking the dude that looks most like the Despicable Me character with fucking big ass arms in the history of the fucking United States. So that's who it's being put out through. It's being put out through that. And the other thing about that is, like, the dude, it fucking boggles my mind. The other thing about de Blasio is, okay, well, he invested in XPW. He's still sold on the fact that, like, motherfuckers did XPW dirty trying to come over. XPW came over here directly into CZW's building and tried to buy it outright in order to get CZW off the fucking, off the map and take their spot. XPW didn't come over here like innocent civilians and try to run a better fucking company. And then he's got the balls to say that this person politicked and this person politicked and Ring of Honor and CZW and all these other shit companies got together to really fucking to fuck over Ring of Honor. Like, no the fuck it didn't. And no the fuck it didn't. Like, that's not the way it worked whatsoever. Fucking XPW tried to come over here and take over. Like, they were stealing talent, they were doing a whole shit like that, and whether you just pay them more and they just made the move, don't call it stealing. You call it what you want to call it. But you invested fucking money in that shit, and your ass got hurt when fucking CZW and Ring of Honor and all that kept their fucking territory, sent XPW the fuck out of there. XPW got themselves banned from the fucking New Alhambra, CZW, ECW, fucking Viking Hall, whatever the fuck you want to call that building. They painted the floor black, paid for that shit. One fucking show got themselves banned from the fucking arena because they didn't understand the fucking rules that they signed on. They got kicked the fuck out. A month later, CZW was back there. They tried to run in fucking Pittsburgh and got their ass sent back to California. Next thing you know, Rob Black's up on fucking pornography charges. Oh, that's fucking crazy. So I guess Ring of Honor, all these politicians, and everybody really fucked XPW. I guess that's what Don Tony's going to think for the rest of his fucking life because he had money in a crooked fucking shit company that tried to take someone else's fucking territory and got sent home with their fucking tails between their legs. So that's my point on that. The current thing, and I still haven't got to that, the current thing that I have fucking a little bit of annoyance towards is the fact that de Blasio ran around for fucking well over a year on his show and dropped insider knowledge, insider info on TNA. And it was cool. And he said, oh, you know, it's a good friend. I would never try to hurt his job. I would never try to hurt him personally, you know, so I'm just going to call him Mr. Mystery. And then it was the cool shit. Like, yeah, I got an insider. I ain't going to tell you motherfuckers who it is. You don't know who it is. Yeah. So Mr. Mystery said this and this and just dropping all this inside shit, right? So now it turns out this is like probably almost 2 years later because he was getting inside info for like that year and a half, whatever the case was. I don't really know chronologically if I'm, you know, right on point with that. But next thing you know, that shit goes away for a while. Now all of a sudden it comes out, oh, Brian Wittenstein, this dude who used to work for Mass Maniac, who used to work for, you know, used to work for Goodman, used to work for TNA. Well, he went to WWE and went against TNA's contract and started ratting out all the stuff that TNA was doing, contract-wise, money-wise, move-wise, all that, all these different things that were specifically labeled in the contract that he wasn't allowed to leak, okay? So he did all of that. Then when he WWE just looked at him and was like, oh, yeah, okay, that's all really interesting. And then instead of, like, really, like, you know, giving him some kind of push or some shit like that, they just fucking fired him and was like, you're going to do the same shit to us. So we ain't fucking dealing with that. And then called TNA about it and was like, hey, by the way, we just fired this fucking guy. Told us all your shit. And I just thought you should know. Well, turned around, TNA's like, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to sue you and fucking that guy. So now TNA's trying to sue that dude and WWE, which that's ridiculous because, I mean, but whatever. So now all of a sudden, De Blasi, D'Antoni, and motherfucking, you know, and Goodman, Mass Maniac, whichever one you want to call each one of them and their personalities, now they go on Mass Maniac show and just try to, like, blast this fucking guy out of the water because it's a news story. So now the guy that made them cool a while ago and have an inside info, and you don't know the guys I know, and I ain't going to tell you his name because I ain't trying to do that. Next thing you know, this motherfucker is on there just trashing him like he's a piece of shit, which, I mean, you could judge the story any way you want. The dude's a rat like a motherfucker, and, like, they're right for firing him and all that stuff. But it's really funny, the same guy that used this to get himself over to be, oh, I'm the guy with the inside info. Next thing you know, all that fucking wraps up, and, oh, he's a fucking scumbag, and this and this and this, and this and this and this. So to me, that shows a little bit of a character as a person, because it's not like De Blasi came back on the radio and was like, yo, this guy, you know, he doesn't want me to put his name out there, but you know what? He's telling TNA's fucking secrets, and I don't get down like that. He's a fucking rat. Brian Wittenstein, he told me this shit. No, he rode that fucking wave as long as it worked for him, and then as soon as that shit came out public, he was like, yeah, yeah, fuck that guy. Remember Mr. Mystery? That was that asshole. Fuck him. Oh, I remember when he used to tell fucking Velvet Sky that he's going to make her squirt. I remember when he said this. I remember when he said this. This is what I'm saying. Like, these are the type of characters I don't fucking deal with because, and I know it doesn't matter whether I deal with you or not like that, but I'm just saying, like, this is why I don't respect people like that. I can respect what you put out on the radio, and I can respect that you draw houses in your, respectively. You know, obviously, Goodman is the guy drawing houses, and Don Tony's the guy getting the shit on the radio. But either way, when you show your character as the loyalty is this type of thing, and then you just back up and you do your radio personality, and you're just the baddest motherfucker in the world, you're still the most successful guy in the world, but you show your personality because you use people for what they're worth, and then you turn around as soon as it's convenient to you, and you use them by throwing them under the bus to your worth once again. So I really congratulate you guys on showing yourself for the douchebags you are, the big despicable me-looking motherfucker, and the other one that lives in a fucking nice little neighborhood, insurance salesman. And you know, you'll continue to get a couple million fucking downloads per year, and Goodman, you'll continue to get your fucking, your big houses and fucking money marks and idiots that are going to run around selling tickets for you while you're telling them they're paying dues. But in all actuality, they'll never pay that fucking due with you because 10 years from now, you still want them to sell tickets. You still ain't paying them no more than you ever paid them because you think that's the way wrestling works. Nobody progresses. Nobody comes more important. Nobody busts their ass to the point where they're worth something. They're just fucking worth your fucking money. They're worth money in your fucking pocket. Everybody's a pawn to you. That's exactly what the fuck you are, Frank Goodman. So that's my problem with that situation. I had to air that shit out right there because it really fucking – it gets on my nerves. And I know a lot of people say, you know, well, don't listen to the show if you don't like it. No, I do. I do like to see how far of a fucking asshole someone can be in their life. I do enjoy that to a certain extent. There's a lot of those shows on TV. There's a lot of those things that you're like, those people are shit, dude. Those are the biggest pieces of trash I ever seen. You'll watch the shows on TV, but you watch it every week to see how much further of a piece of shit these people could be. And that's why I listen to that shit. And that's not drawing to me with a fake personality. You can't, oh, we're playing that up for the right bullshit. I see right through it. I see exactly what the fuck you are. You know, Despicable Me talking about his fucking arms every goddamn week. Nobody's impressed, dude. You're ridiculous looking. You look fucking ridiculous. And I'm sure you could hurt somebody if you got your hands on him. But, you know, go suck my dick, dude. You ain't grabbing shit. And De Blasio again, man. You know, you talk your borderline racist shit. I mean, you call it borderline, but most people would call it far over the line. But whatever, dude. I mean, I'm not even hitting on that. But in the same token, you talk that shit from the coziness of your fucking parents' beach house or your own fucking house with your insurance salesman job. You'd be on the phone with a lawyer the second someone put their hands on you, but you're the toughest fucking, I'll say whatever I feel like, fucking Don Tony on your fucking show. And he's been sprayed with a hose and a fucking dog crate on the Mass Maniac show. So everything should fucking prove itself. Everything should speak for itself when it comes down to people putting their personalities out on a radio show. You're going to say what you're going to say. You're going to back up what you're going to back up. And it's not talking about, hey, man, you should do a radio show and street fight on your off time. I'm just saying, like, don't act like a complete coward. Don't turn your back on people that were making your show fucking entertaining for a certain amount of time. And again, it's not backing up fucking Brian Witness. I don't give a fuck if you like him or if you don't. But the fact that you used this fucking guy for good fucking content for all that time, didn't have a shit to say about his fucking name, as soon as this motherfucker's name comes out, like, yeah, here goes me getting off of that guy again. It's just fucking ridiculous. Well, anyway, I think I'm about done with that. Think about that with the show for tonight. Hold on, but right before I go, let me get on, Juan.
Oh, shit. Forgot about that.
Hey.
I was just listening.
Cool, man. Well, I was about to wrap the show up, but I figured, shit, you're still sitting there online listening. So, what do you think of the show, man?
Yo, that was a fucking cool-ass interview. I knew that was coming. I was waiting, like, yo, he's going to bring up the whole trampoline monkey shooting star cats and shit.
I gotta bring up everything, man. Teddy's an interesting guy, so what can I do?
Nah, he's humble as hell, don't get me wrong, but holy shit, that man, I want to go in his brain and see what the fuck he's thinking about with these matches, man.
Well, I try to bring everybody as close to Teddy's brain as I could, but
I'm glad you enjoyed it, man.
Not
this shit. But the whole Carino thing, that's where, you know, I ain't say a word. I sat back.
I
know,
you're a Carino fan. I'm not.
So. I'm going to let that shit go.
Cool, man. Well, I didn't want to not put you on with you sitting on hold before I wrap the show up. So, as always, thanks for listening, dude. And, you know, listening next week and all that. Yeah, I'm Nick Burke back on. So, you know what it is, homie.
Thank you, man.
But, yeah, man, check in. Peace. So, there's one. I'll take one caller. Don't be biased. I am not taking callers, but anyway, fuck it. I think that was it. Did the show pretty nice. I might do a mini-sode on Saturday or Sunday just to, do some shit with as far as the PWS show I'm going to tomorrow. I guess before I let off completely, I might as well wrap it up with an actual card. And Aaron Fox is going to fight Alex Reynolds. I don't know who the fuck that is, but they're also going to have Dan Moff versus Devin Moore. They're going to have, David Richards, Adam Cole versus the Briscoes. Coco Beware versus Marty Jannetty. So I'm guessing Slick isn't going to be there because he was supposed to face off at Piledriver. Big Van Vader versus Too Cold Scorpio. Mil Máscaras versus Samurai Del Sol. Tony Nese and Sammy Callahan versus Kai and the Great Muta. You can show up over there. It's, I believe, 8 o'clock. Yeah, 8 o'clock live action, 6 p.m. signing with those superstars. And also in attendance will be the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, Maria Kanellis, Tito Santana, Ox Baker, PN News, Virgil, Mike Seidel, Cole Cabana, Stacy Carter, Tony Atlas. I mean, Lucifer, Darkseid. They're adding ridiculous amounts of names. And then still on Saturday, the second show, Sammy Callahan versus Kevin Matthews for the title. Tony Nese versus Kai. Scott Steiner versus Dan Moff, who was previously going to be Teddy Hart. But Scott Steiner versus Dan Moff. Vader and Too Cold Scorpio against Devin Moore and Jay Lethal. Fantasio versus Simon Dean. Tommy Dreamer versus The Sheik, which is the new Sheik, not the Iron Sheik. Samurai Del Sol versus AR Fox versus Taka Suzuki. The Briscoes versus Marty Jannetty and Coco Beware in another iPay-per-view dark match. Also featuring The Great Muda, PN News, Virgil, Sonny, and Maria Kanellis, and more. And those are both iPay-per-views. Like I said, check them out, ProWrestlingSyndicateLive.com, if you're not able to make it live. But otherwise, it's in Rahway, New Jersey. Look that up. Check that out. It's going to be great shows. I'm really, really looking forward to it. Like I said, so I'm probably going to, like, Saturday or Sunday do a little mini-show to get my rundowns on that, because next week I got Nick Burke again. And you know that, you know, it took me 4 hours last week to get through that. So God knows that I, you know, I don't want to leave anything unsaid before that show. And then, you know, obviously I'll have also have SmackDown to talk about, because that happens on Friday. So, you know, yeah. I'll have a good, you know, handful of things to talk about. And I want to talk about that other thing that happened in the news, but I'm going to save that for the mini-sode over the weekend. I don't want to waste that on the tail end of this phenomenal show. And I'll just call it phenomenal because I liked it. Plugs, check out Wrestling Soup over there, WrestlingSoup.com. Check out, obviously, I plugged Don Tony and Kevin Castle and, you know, the Mass Maniac for my disdain for some of the things that they do. And honestly, Kevin Castle had nothing to do with any of that. But say people's name enough, you might as well be plugging them. And, you know, Yolanda over there, the Shiznet, check out that show. She makes awesome T-shirts, gimmick tees. And, I might be missing somebody. Probably am. I don't know. It's getting late. I got to work tomorrow, and then I got to do the PWS thing. So definitely everybody check us out next week, Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern. I'll be on with Nick Burke once again, and I have a lot more stuff to ask that dude. Very, very entertaining thing coming for that. So check the track. I'm out for the night. Peace.
Hey, yo, Reaper, those kids out there seem mad thirsty. You got for them to drink?
Yo, we could wet up 2 cups of blood.
Arm to the leg, arm to the head. Yo, be the Vesavector, Mitchell J.
Cheek to the R to the YM, Reaper. As I get deeper than a grip, resurrect kid.
Don't go against the grain, man, slang is my thing. I'll leave the hearty party with a bang, buzz a boom. Check my tune, it got you hyper. Don't give a fuck about a sucker, see cypher.
You decipher the tricks of a viper. Swine is lethal, it's evil. I am original. We can build a form, the ill form, and keep all your brain cells warm.
Hocus pocus, yo, what's the focus? Weak techniques should speak, the shit is bogus.
Even in a mortuary, science of bloom. As I seek the gnaw from the womb to the tomb.
Yo, deadly, deadly, yeah, get ready. Here comes the styler, wilder than Freddy. Cause the Kruger, boom, I do ya. Just to let them know, grave diggers coming to ya.
Set sick and rotten, your brain cells forgot in the past. You had your boomer eyes picking cotton. Now you hate your naughty hairstyles. I guess your figure, the texture is too wild, child.
2 cups of blood, boy. 2 cups of blood, girl. Alright, drink that shit up.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
We're taking over. We're taking over. We're taking over.